Right, this is going to be another episode of Hot Take Point Made. If people don't know, on the last episode, the first half of it was the much-promised review of the previous Hot Take. So we're going to finish that off now. We've got, I think we did up to episode 10, so we've got like 7 more, I think, so there's not as many. And as we sort of learned the meta of doing them, some of them you can just run straight through. Like some of them, if you notice, they're not, the mistake people made is this. Not every hot take actually is a prediction. Sometimes it's like, here's what I think now. So that doesn't really change over history. Like if you thought that then, you thought that then. So some of them we don't need to comment on. Obviously some of them will actually be spicy, maybe incredibly wrong or maybe incredibly right. So, and obviously listen, I didn't set this up, but Cassard needs a few wins nowadays. He needs a few times on the internet to be proven incredibly right. So I'm just here to help you, Cassard. I'm just here to offset anything that messed up that might be going on in your life, you know. I mean, you know.
I'm so glad that always, like, that right, you okay. get my back.
No, always. Like, this, listen, yeah, no. I'm not just going to leave my comrade out there bleeding on the battlefield.
Just going to finish him off straight up.
Well, yeah, that's the joke. The joke is I'd just do the mercy killing because I'd exactly, I'd just go, sorry, mate, I'll take care of him though.
Yeah, but I can't take it.
But I can't carry any dead weight, so you have to understand. Right, let's do it then. So, well, I think we did up to episode 10 was the one then. So episode 11 was on the 22nd of June, so we're in the middle of last year. Maui's take, again, these are ones that, like, I mean, we can actually evaluate this, but it's more of a, the time takes. You're going to have to put your mind back in time. He actually said back then that Ence was the third best team in the world. I'm guessing this is around the time they did the IM Dallas run. It must be if it's like June or so. So I'm guessing like that was when they had their little spike and they were starting to make fouls. So I actually think, logically, that was when they made all the fouls. I think you're probably right on that one, right? Seems like a legit take.
I think it might have been right before they did Dallas. Okay. So I think it was because Dallas. Oh no, it wasn't June. You're right. It wasn't June. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Exactly. I think it was good. Just like getting ahead
of the. Did you see what he did, Duncan?
Yeah. You looked it up, didn't he?
Googled
it.
No. Not just that, because you gave him the win, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that was a reasonable take, okay. And he was like, he would try to.
Oh, I tried to get more. Right? Like, yeah, true.
Yeah, it was before. Like okay. It was before. True. Maui.
Well, what's the date? What was the date? What
the 22nd of June was the date it came out on. So when was IM Dallas then?
IM Dallas was earlier that month.
Okay. Here's the thing. I can already tell that, like, here's the problem, because like, you're right, actually. He could have just said, because I didn't even dispute, he could have just taken the small win and we moved on. Yeah. But you can tell he sort of knew, shit, but if they did just win a land before that, it's not really that hot take, is it? Like, it's sort of like just a medium, like, shit, I better make it hotter. Like, I think I said that before, like, Snappy even joined. Like, wasn't it like, wasn't Alu like IGN when I said, no, like, anyway, that's obviously hyperbole, but it's all, listen, just take the win, Maui. You can just take the small win. That's okay. Take the small win. So then we had Cassad. This is a similar take. He had Snappy was the number one IGL in the world. Okay. Actually, I think I agreed with that at the time. I think he probably was at the time. He's fucking killing it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you say, Maui? Does he get that one? Can you give him that one? I think you agreed at the time, didn't you?
I think I might have had him and Cadian as my 1 and 2.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, spoiler, Cadian fell off a cliff right after that, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Then I had one. Again, this is just like, you guys tell me if this is right or not. I just said, because at the time, this was right when FaZe was in the worst ever slump of results. If you remember before, I always used to say, the FaZe in 2022 used to come like sixth as their worst result. And everyone would be like, oh my God. Whereas like, they actually had the real slump in this summer, if you remember. This is like when they would come like ninth place or not even make playoffs of kind of eight or whatever. So my take at the time, since everyone was telling me, like an idiot. Look at Carrigan's stats, though. Fire him. So I said, FaZe won't be top three without Carrigan. I think I nailed that one, guys. My question is just who's coming in instead of Carrigan in that team? It's surely the only guy who can do it.
The thing is, like, we cannot say that you're right or wrong because they haven't lost Carrigan, did they? Right? Is he still there?
Well, then technically, in the most literal sense, I was definitely right because they did become top three again and they have Carrigan, so... But you are right. We can't know there's no A-B test, is there? It's like we'll never know if Huxley led your team. Would they be good or would they be even worse? We'll never know.
No, but we can know probably, but not probably. At some point, we will know that how his face is going to look like without
Kerrigan.
That's true. He's not going to play forever.
True. And then we had... you know what, Maui? This is just a funny one, mate. Your take was there won't be sub-tick in Pro CS2.
Okay. You know, I zoned out. Okay. I remember that one. I zoned
that's,
out.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Listen, I don't know that that's like a definite that you were wrong. It's just funny because obviously, like, that's one of the things people complain about to this day is the subtick issue, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. It's just that it's still to this day causing inconsistencies in the professional gameplay. Like, literally, you can't jump on the same box with the same key inputs today. So it's like, I mean, I just hate that Valve has to die on these hills like this, because obviously they're going to just keep trying to make it work and everything like that. But still, to this day, it is faulty.
Yes. Oh, no, that had the vibe for me, by the way. Even when they introduced that, I wasn't like you guys. I didn't get that hyped off. Like, oh, they fixed it and they just don't need Tick. Because the way they were describing that, they were sort of like, it's sort of like what you want, but not what you want, and the same as before, but slightly different. That sounded like that vibe of, like, the famous thing. If people don't know, the real place that meme in culture comes from of, like, we've got X at home, isn't all this modern-day stuff that you all know. You all don't know, actually, the genesis. That's when you were a kid, and you would say to your kid, if you were, like, young Maui Snake, you would go, Mom, I want McDonald's. And then she would go, why would we have McDonald's? We've got burgers at home. And then we all know the burger she cooks, he was a fucking abomination compared to the McDonald's one. It's that big fucking home burger with like massive slice of tomato and like the bread's all horrible. And like she's put like fucking bits of veg in the meat or something. And then the joke obviously is like, that's just like suffering compared to what you could have. So it's the same thing, isn't it? Like they promised you the shiny new Subtick thing. And like, as far as I can tell, this is like worse than what we had before. Like, as you say, Maui, the joke is I would take 60-40. As long as it's consistent, as long as I can do all the movements and the jumps, it's pretty important in Pro CS Valve to be able to do the certain jumps. Like, I can't have that randomized based on like the ping, the server, and like my fucking inputs. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I think that's a wild one. So I wish you were right on that tick.
Yeah, I wish I were. It's like, I mean, the fact that 64 tick until it feels like it doesn't need to be 64 tick is such a wacky, that's such a wacky concept.
It makes me nervous even when they describe it that way. It's like, what are you, it's like you're trying to trick me now. There's something, you're trying to get me to buy some magic beans right now, Subtick magic beans, right? Then I had a tick. Obviously, again, this is not really one that's debatable. I just put fans are too forgiving to Valve. Tell you what, I think that it takes age pretty well, Cassad, because in June, everyone's like, no, I love Valve. They're doing all updates. What do you think? They're just going to put the game into beta and not fix everything? What about when CSGO was back? I'll tell you what, you're all hating on Valve now, haven't you? I broke everyone. I know the joke is even Launders broke about a month in. You remember? He went from being like, hey, guys, stop criticizing Valve to like, fuck Valve. Look, all my homies hate Valve. Like, what the fuck? I think everyone got radicalized against Valve, didn't they? Even though actually we're probably going too far now, guys. Like they don't really care that much about the esports side. They're doing some stuff.
I mean, it's just all of these motherfuckers. If there wasn't Valve, they would be fucking broke anyway. So
yes,
it's just whatever.
I think this one's aged pretty well. Cassad's take, it's actually an abstract take, not about the game. He just said he thinks teams and tournament organisers need more robust mental health help. Because if you remember, that was when, I think it was the person in Valorant people didn't know, but I believe he committed suicide. Obviously, like, that's even more relevant now with that Cynic story we talked about a few weeks back. Like, I agree, because I also do agree, Cassad, on that one, that, like, it's not just, like, teams need it. You also need these people at the event. Like, if you ever see someone, like, here's the obvious example I would give in the modern day. The joke is that headgear girl who was on the ESL Impact should have someone standing by that can come and counsel her and ask, hey, what's going on? Like, you're obviously not just reacting to the games. Is something going on behind the scenes? Like, I think you do need that sort of stuff. In fact, even when you worked at Vince's Talent, I've seen people get burned out or have fucking meltdowns. All sorts of shit can happen.
The thing is that we are allocating all this money to these different things, right? Like, and we're wasting a lot of money on this God knows what bullshit things that people don't care about. And we can just set aside a little bit of these resources that are going into waste and set aside for something like that's actually important. Because, you know, that American kid that, you know, the Cine guy that, you know, committed suicide, that obviously there is a lot of mental health issues, and it's a real thing, right? People do get burnt out. Those are kids. They don't know any better, right? And you gave a good example of Hedge, the girl that had a situation in Impact League. So if somebody is there to talk to her, to guide her through this, I mean, if I'm there, if you are there, if Maui is there, like, what can you do to help her?
Exactly,
you are not an expert. No. You can just sit there and tell her, like, yeah, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
And listen to what she has to say and just be next to her or be next to anyone who is suffering. But you cannot really offer any kind of constructive advice because you're not an expert for those things. Yes. Like, how the fuck do I know? And, like, getting some money for fixing those issues would be a tremendous help for the TOs and for the talent and for the players and all these things. But we are just sadly spending money on other stuff, which is kind of shit.
I will ask you guys to be the judge of this. The last take of the episode was by me. Look, I always lay my cards on the table. It's not like I hide my biases. The joke is I'm pretty open about them. I said I thought Yekindar as the in-game leader of Team Liquid was a terrible idea. You be the judge of that. What do you think, boys?
So obviously panned out pretty damn well for you.
That one's, listen, I can't lie, that one felt like a slam dunk at the time, but okay. But the joke is that was actually a hot take, because believe it or not, this is just a more abstract point about the game in general. If you're a popular player or a good player, the fans will always give you a chance when you say you're going to be IGL. It's just that I know that 99% of the time it won't work out, that's all.
Yeah, that was back in the day when they got Rainmaker and got Patsy and tried to like make that kind of lineup and completely blew up. I think I agree with you on that one with Yekindar being.
I think you did. Yeah,
I think it was just a layup there, right? It's just should be easy to think.
Well, here's the joke. I could segue it if you want, because on the next episode, which is a month later in July, Kassad's opening take, so we're only a month into the Yekindar era, was Yekindar made the biggest mistake of his career. Which, by the way, you were also correct about. I think you get full marks for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, like, he did make them. His career was not that, he's not that long. He was in what? The whatever the team was, and then VP? He was in VP. Yeah, then he was in VP, right?
Yep.
And then he got swapped for... went for the Liquid and Fleet got in. But the thing is, like, that's his whole career. Now he's in Liquid. They accomplished nothing with all these, like, partnership spots and money and changes and the whole, like, structure behind the organization. So, yeah, I think that was the worst move of his career, you know, that we know.
For his legacy, probably. I'm sure he's getting... I would assume he's getting paid more in Liquid than he was in World, though. So that's... Sure. I mean, depends how you want to take these kind of things, obviously. But, I mean, with... We can see. I mean, there's still more to be said about Liquid. We have yet to really see them play in too many international events. But, I mean, the thing is that leaving VP means he, quite frankly, and
no, I believe the take was to be IGL, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
if it's about IGL, then obviously that was just a waste of everybody's time.
By the way, I'll even say it. If people can't remember that era, that was actually the worst period of Liquid. Like, the joke is, even when everyone said Nitro and Elise were washed, dude, that team was way better than this Liquid. Like, that one could, like, trip over and make a playoffs of a tournament. Like, the Liquid with Rainmaker one was garbage, I'm sorry. The saddest thing about that one, by the way, for real, I'll always say this, is the person who got the most unfairly wrecked in that was fucking Patsy. Like, they brought him in, and then they were like, but you're not as good as your kid. It's like, is that it? That's all. That's the only metric by which I'm gone. Like, I can't be in the top team again. What the fuck?
But nobody held a gun to his head and told him that he needs to go to Liquid.
That's true.
Like, he knew that he's going to be in clash with Rolls with Yekindar, right? He knew that coming in. So it's
I know what you mean, but it depends how young and naive he was, Kassad. Because I believe if you listen to, I bet Yekindar, and then we're like, no, and of course I would be the IGL and you'll have your role. And then the joke there is, it's like, mate, that's like going and like, that's like if fucking Paul McCartney invites you to be in his band and you can be the bass player. It's like, you know, at any point in time, he can turn around and go, I'm Paul McCartney, I think I'll play the bass. Like, it's over for you. I agree with you. The big mistake he made was even joining that team. Like, that was naive to think that would work out long term. Yeah, I agree.
He was a good prospect.
I still think now he could be rescued, mate. If the right team picked him up, I bet he could be good again. He seemed like a good player to me.
The thing is, like, he's in Paris Vision right now, and that team is like all over the place, I feel. Every time we scream them, it's like, it feels like, you know, they have the sharpness, but it's just not connected, right? And I don't know about him. I haven't looked at him, but I don't know if he can come back. The CS2 is a little bit different, right?
Sure.
Now. Like, I don't think it's that easy to kind of translate from CSGO to CS2 anymore.
And then just almost for comedic, you know, I don't know if you know this, Maui, but in British comedy especially, a really classic element of the comedy is called the callback, where you build up references and you keep referring cyclical to them back in the episode. It makes the joke funnier and funnier as you realize they're tagging on the older. Well, along those lines, if people remember in the first episode, some of the themes of Maui Snake takes, are you ready for what his take in July was? It was, Mezzy is a better in-game leader than Dexter, because as we've established, about half of this show is Maui, the secret agent of Mezzy, attempting to like get him the IGL job or not IGL job and another team. What do you think? Look, I can't lie, I agree with you. I think he is a better IGL than Dexter, RIP. But, you know, like, what? Just give us an update. What is the obsession with Mezzy in this era? Why were the takes always centered around him? Because, by the way, it actually looks good now that he's in Vitality. He's won tournaments and stuff. So what, why were you so obsessed with this player, Maui?
With Mezzy? I think just the fact that he was... like, it felt like he was just kind of being misused in some ways. Like, he was obviously a half... I actually thought he was a half-decent in-game leader for Fnatic. And then when Dexter came in, the whole point was that literally Mezzy's rating was... I remember writing this point. He had a 1.09 rating before as an in-game leader for Fnatic. And then he had a 1.09 rating after when Dexter was in-game leading. And yet Dexter just had a 0.88 or whatever stupid rating he had. So it's like, this is just dead weight. And also their T-side round win percentage was practically the same at every single tournament. So nothing even changed, except for the fact that now on on CT side, you have Dexter playing star rifle roles instead of actually him just playing like just having Mezzi, who's just flat out better.
Everyone knows I'm a hater of Dexter, so the joke is I would say you're right on that one, I know. By the way, I will just say, here's a little, it's a rare time I'll take a shot at someone from another show that's not HL TV staff. It's actually the other person on HL TV confirmed. I saw Chad did that tweet on Twitter where it's like he was trying to build a team of people from, I think Sweden. I think he was trying to make like a Swedish team. And it was like, you know, these four players plus whoever the fifth would be plus exist. You know, the first thought I had, Kassad, this is even the banter I would say to Chad, because it would actually expose that he doesn't really keep that energy. What I would say is, yeah, and then let's make a lineup of like JKS plus four Australians and let's have him go back to Australia, right, Chad? Yeah, you're right. Why would fucking, you know, why would like fucking these Swedish players want to play in, you know, why would like Nork want to be in Apex at the minute? He should just join a Swedish team and then JKS should go back to Australia. Right? Oh, do you not keep that energy about Australia? Would that be a waste of JKS's career? Well, then why the fuck would Nork and Isaac go back here and play with shitty little Joel? And by the way, you didn't even put a fifth name. Your fifth name is a question mark. So they're supposed to get together with four and then go, who's the fifth? Fuck, no one knows. Well, get him in. And then Exist has to also coach this team, by the way, even though Exist can coach, you know, everyone in the world, including a team that could. So all I'm saying on that one is, Chad, like, that's basically, you want that team to be made. So I'm just saying, keep that energy. Keep that energy when it comes to your boy JKS, you know. Similar thing, you know what? Maybe this is how I can resolve that thing with Yekinda. I'll have no problems with Yekinda if he has to play in a fucking Latvian team. Get him a Brokey, fuck off, plus question mark, question mark, question mark, plus, I don't know, can fucking Hecker was the coach. That's a pretty good joke, actually. Not bad, yeah. The only other person from Latvia I know is the joke, guys. Like, what can I do on that one? I'm doing a Chad on that one. It's okay. Right, what about this? I can't lie, you might say this one has to take an L, boys, because I did say in the 25th of July that that G2 lineup would never win another trophy, and they did win IEM Cologne right afterwards. So, you know, the saddest part is because I said that lineup, if it wasn't for Cologne, now the lineup's changed, I would have been okay, because they had to win that fucking Cologne. I got hooked, didn't I? We've all been hooked before, Kassad. I got hooked this time. It's all good. It'll happen to Maui one day. You'll see.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll take the L on that one.
Sometimes you have to take the L.
It's just, you delivered it with such comedic timing because Cologne happened. Oh, it's hilarious. Two days after you made that take.
It's good. I know. It's good.
Yeah. Yes. So that's how you play the game as a real man.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like a
full
on. You don't make like, you don't say that Stappy is the best IGL after they've been fucking Dallas.
Right. There you go.
That's how you play the game. Sometimes you lose it. Okay. Sometimes you don't win the battle. It's fine.
All right. There you go. He did the effective call back there, Maui. I noticed he kept that in behind, you know. Right. All right. What about this then? Then we had this take. This was a Kassad take. Tell you what, I will leave it up to the jury. The Kassad take was Neil will be ineffective at FaZe. The results say otherwise, right? But then again, depends on which you want to lawyer it. But I'm just going to say the results are pretty good. They did win a lot of tournaments.
The thing is, like I said that in the beginning was a mistake because he doesn't have an experience and we saw what happens in the past, right?
Okay.
I never said he's going to be fully ineffective forever, right? But what did they win after that? They won...
A couple of lands. No. They won Sydney. They won the Asia Championship thing. Yeah, they've been a bunch of finals.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of 50-50 there. I'm not going to take the L, but I'm not going to take the win there.
Maui's take. They've literally, like, essentially made the final of almost every tournament after that. He's not taking the L. He's not. He doesn't accept the L. What do you think?
Every grand final of every LAN in CS2 hasn't had any effect on the team. Literally, actually, I talked to them.
I didn't say he's not going to have any effect. What do you mean? Like, why are you twisting my words? I said that at the beginning, it might be a mistake before he gets used to his role.
Okay.
I said also that he's a smart guy. He has a fucking knowledge about the game and everything. But at the beginning of his career as a coach, that would be a mistake.
So you know the problem.
You gotta take
it. Yeah, I know.
Here's
the thing, Maui. The problem is, me and you, it's like back in the old days, and people don't know, in the really old days of hockey when people had really shit gloves. Supposedly, if you're losing like 5-1 and someone hits an insane slap shot, you just let it go in, Maui. You're like, you know what? Fuck it. You win on that one. We're doing that on our takes. And then the joke is, he comes along like fucking Martin Brodeur with like the whole net covered with pads. Like, there you go. Try and get the goal in. It's like, he doesn't take any fucking L's. Like, I don't know. It's all good, Kassad. It's all good, mate. It's all good.
I like how people are here stabbing each other in the back.
Oh, it's the point of the show. Yeah, of course. That's a feature, not a bug. Yeah, that's a feature, not a bug, mate. Don't worry about that. We had this one. So, okay, I can't lie. It's a pretty good one, Maui. You said Cloud9. This is good. You said,
oh, I know this.
You said Cloud9 will win an S-tier tournament this calendar year.
Yeah, we'll see how that didn't work.
To be fair, that was obviously before Shiro left. To be fair, I will add that detail in. Yes, that was before that. But it hasn't looked great, obviously.
Sounds like a your problem, not ours, right?
They're not true.
We should just turn that is just literally like they're not winning one until they get a Shiro-like player back on that roster now. It's just so hopeless now.
Who's backpedaling now? Okay.
Okay, then I had the take. Actually, I think this is fairly, sorry, not hot take at this point. This is where, unfortunately, the downside of doing it years later is if we actually have really good hot takes, they become right, and then eventually everyone agrees with it, so it doesn't seem a hot take. My take was that Heroic with Yabby is the best team in games without pressure. The joke is my timing on that's amazing, except that actually they became shit in games without pressure after that, so it was sort of true for a while, maybe, for that one. Because if you remember, this was when everyone thought they were the chokers still, wasn't it? Like, they blew that semi-final at Dallas and that.
Yeah, I remember. But, like, it kind of changed at this point, so you don't even know what the
they're not even good now, and the lineup's gone.
You're just gonna leave that hot take like somewhere in the background, not even gonna discuss it anymore.
What do you think of this one, Maui? Kassad's take was that the NA scene was in its worst state ever. Was he right on that, Yank?
I think it was probably a little bit before it. I actually feel like, in a weird way, North American CS, it's hard to say at that point what I thought, because Liquid was barely even a North American team.
Oh, they were technically European, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I guess that's a big
take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, name a successful NA team. Like, even at now.
At this point, the only thing, it's just like complexity. There's pretty much no true NA team right now.
Yes. Like, what is the successful part about complexity except Sydney?
Yeah,
like,
no.
If that's the only result that represents your whole region, then your region is not doing well.
Of course not. I think the
I'll take
there was some stuff there was like that was on the rise in terms of North American teams like M80, but then they suddenly had to lose their in-game leader and get deaf. So it's like, okay, sure, just heartbreak after heartbreak.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened there. Like, they just lost a player before the RMR now, and it was just they played with their coach and just God. That's one of the points, like the mental health things that we, you know, spoke about. So
here's one where I'm actually not sure even how to grade this, so I'll ask you, Kassad. Maui then had a take that said wild card picks, which means Imperial apparently, for IEM Cologne and Furious, so the two Brazilian teams at times before I think Fallen had left, or maybe just after or whatever, he said that they would be better in 6 months than Team Liquid, so basically at the end of the year, because the problem with that one is Team Liquid then changed the roster. So how do we grade that one? Like,
that's a big L. What do you mean? That's exactly how it is. Like, they, even with any kind of lineup that Liquid had and has now, the Imperial / Furia is nowhere close to them. Did you watch Furia?
They're all bad teams, is the problem, you know.
They want to land. They want to land.
He's counting the Elite Masters Espoo now. Okay. All right. Listen, if Kassad's going to call the Blast World Finals a banana cup, I can't imagine he's going to say that Elite Masters Espoo is like a prestige.
They
want
to land. Like, come on. Yeah, it's just.
They want to land that Liquid wouldn't even have participated in, frankly. But they did win one.
By the way, another thing about this show is about 10% of this show is like mildly disingenuously presented. Our own opinions to trigger Kassad if possible. Like, you know, it's putting a little bit extra spice in there for no reason. Then the last take, this, by the way, even though I don't agree with this take, the last take of that episode might be my favorite take of all time on this show, which was Kassad saying Nico should bench himself. That's I thought the one before was better, that like him winning the tournament, like the world finals, was bad for his career. This one's even better. The idea he should, like, out of protest, bench himself is actually amazing, because all I'll say is this, guys, isn't that sort of what Simple did, that we've all hated on him for like 6 months now? Like, that's such a mad take. I disagree with that. I think he should keep playing. I think basically Kassad, he should probably have kept playing, win at Cologne, and then be the top player in the world. That would be my take, you know.
Was that before or after Cologne?
I think that was just before, because the take was about the picks for Cologne. So in theory, they won the Cologne just after this. So you got wrecked like I did, mate. We both got wrecked on that one.
I guess it's an L. I guess. But the thing is, like, the bigger...
He won't take any L's, really. It's mental at all.
The bigger picture needs to be looked at. Like, what happened after Cologne?
Okay.
Like, when was Cologne? In July, June?
What I love is this, Maui. He's essentially doing like, yeah, but aside from IEM Cologne, what tournaments did they win? You're like, that's a pretty big one. That's a pretty good fucking tournament. Like, it's a good one to win, you know?
Yes. But like, aside from that, the thing is, like,
sure, okay,
what big events did they come? Yeah, okay, semifinals in Sydney.
Did a few. Yeah, a few.
And that's it, right? Like, okay. Yes, that's better than benching yourself, definitely. But the benching yourself has a specific reason.
All right, here's what I'll say on this one. From your perspective, it's still a fine take. From ours, where we don't have to be you or make your takes work, we're just going to say it's an L. We'll say that's an L for that one, you know. If I have to take the L for them winning fucking Claude, you do as well. So we all got hooked on that one. So then, on the episode that was on the 10th of August, we started with my take that fans would rather be wrong than ever admit Richard or Cassad was right. Tell you what, I think that take's only gotten better over time. Like, the joke now is, like, I actually think for real, here's the thing, Cassad, it's okay for people to donk on people not qualifying for the RMR or through the RMR. Like, I get, like, the joke is even Falcons and Big G2 would have gotten that if they hadn't. But, like, I actually feel for real, mate. Like, they talk about your team like it is the fucking G2 super team and you're failing all these lands. Like, I just want to tell people. In fact, you know what my take would be if I met these people in real life where they couldn't Google? I would just say, I'll tell you what, before you finish your take about Bleed, name all five players. And if you can't name all five, you lose. Like, they'd all lose. I don't think they could even name the whole roster, mate. I think they'd get three names in and then they'd fucking start going, and then they'd just fail. They wouldn't get all five. So the idea that they're like, why isn't this team in the team? It's like, who the fuck thought it should be? It's an experimental lineup, in it. So I think people just...
Exactly.
The vibe I get is, whatever you say, mate, it's wrong. You're in that category with me and Richard now. Yeah, you say something, it's wrong no matter what. Like, even if they would have agreed, they find a way to disagree with you, if you know what I mean.
If I, like, turned myself into Jesus Christ, I would still be fucking the devil. Like, I would still be the devil in their eyes. If I turned myself into the Jesus fucking Christ. They
you know
would
what?
Still hate me.
You never knew before like this show, Maui, that he's sort of a poet in his own ways, isn't Cassad? Yeah, he's sort of an urban poet at all.
That's the curse right
now. I love it.
When it comes to, like, this lineup that they keep talking, I think you're right. They cannot name five players. They don't know. They think that I spent like $4 million.
Yes, exactly.
On the team. And the truth is that I got my fifth player on January 2nd, and the bootcamp started on January 3rd.
Yes.
And the qualifier started on the 7th or 8th or whatever the fuck was it. It's just like, I'm not looking for excuses, it's whatever, but like, let's like get the real picture here. Let's understand like what's going on. Like,
right, here's an interesting one though, because technically we're going to have to be the judges for this, because I'm interested to see where you go on this one. Maui's take was that Vitality would have done worse with Dupree instead of Flames. I'm guessing this is when they won the... was it when they won Gamers 8? Yeah, I'm guessing. So what do you think? Would having Dupree have been worse for Vitality? Could they have kept the form before? Was the Flames lineup better, Cassad? What's your take?
I think it was better. I think it was overall better. I think it was the right move. And Flames proved out to be super good for them, right, in the following months and after that in CS2. And I think it's just a right move to take, even though I rate Dupree pretty high.
Yes.
I still think even though he's 30 years old, he can still shoot pretty hard, and he has all this experience and he can bring this aura to the team, like, whatever, right? But the thing is, like, I think it was the right move overall. You know how I feel about these upgrades and like next generation thinking in the future. It was the right move. Yeah,
I think that's a massive W, that one. And the reason why is this. I actually think that was the perfect time to cut him, because I actually think, dude, if Dupree's won his fifth major and he's this old, like, he isn't going to be as hungry for a Gamers 8 or an IEM Sydney as, like, Flames hasn't won anything at that point. So I think that's even logically part of why Vitality's now revitalized themselves, obviously pun intended, to become the top team again. I think it was these signings. So I think it's just a W on that one, mate.
The reason I also made that was just because I watched Flames' demos at Gamers 8, and he was just so much more active as a player and just moving around than what Dupree ever did on that team. So that's just like macro understanding or like just activeness in general.
Obviously, I will leave you guys to be the jury for this one. Then this Thorin character, who has a lot of hot takes on this show, said that Ziwu is the most overrated GOAT contender in the history of Counter-Strike. Now, you have to understand, this is where Cassad gets it. Like a real man, I don't just go, he's a bit overrated. I go, he's the most overrated of all time. And then, whoa, fucking hell. So go on, guys. Has that take gotten worse? Is it good? Is it bad? Where are you at on this one?
I don't think it's going good for you, to be honest. Because he's like delivering number ones and like titles and all these things, right? Because when you think about the GOAT contenders, who are they, right?
Yeah.
It's simple, yeah. Right? It's Nico. It's Device, maybe.
I think those are the main ones. That's enough. Yeah, right? That's all good.
And if you throw in like Zywoo, I don't think that's like out of those four at the time would probably make you right. But right now it's like less and less. That's right. Okay. Because he's still, again, three times number one, two times number two. He did win a major, whatever. He did win all these things. So right now, we cannot really deny it anymore, at least, you know, that much that we did before. So overall, okay. I think it's going bad for you at this moment.
Do you share the same sentiment, Maui? Is that an L for me?
It's going a bit too well right now, but I really think that what's something to keep our eye on is just kind of how he does this season because, I mean, they didn't have the hottest start already. And so, well, is this... And we never know. Like, the beginning of the downfall of someone like Simple was just kind of like one, two bad events, and yeah, then suddenly he's off the face of the earth, and then he has to take a break, and, you know, like, we don't know if he's ever going to come back into it. Zywu hasn't attained GOAT status yet, so... Obviously, like, when you say overrated, I think the main thing is, like, the narrative at the time was that people are already crowning him.
Oh, true,
it's like,
yes.
What are we talking about here? Yes. That's, yeah. So those people were definitely overrating him because he still, to me, I think he's actually safely top five. He's safely top five in the GOAT conversation now. So
for me, top three, like, top three.
I think that's fair. I think that's
like,
pretty fair.
Nico, yeah. Simple and Nico and then him, like. Even though maybe the Nico is number three right now. Like the thing is like Device. He might be even number two. Yes, but it's like, you know, he has like more years that were you know, not there, right? Even though the last year he was like, what, top 10, 15, what was it?
The main point of it is, like, is just that, well, with he's not number one, like that, so he can't be the GOAT, like, so that's why he's overrated. Like the whole point of GOAT conversation is the best, and he's not. So
I'll chime in with an update to this, which I think makes my take right again. So you actually just nailed it, Kassad. If I was to name off all the people who would be the GOAT contenders, you've nailed the list. The short list everyone can agree on pretty much is going to be Simple, Zywu, Nico, Device. Like, realistically, even if you want to put like Kenny S. or Kulzik, you're going to put them on the list to put them fifth or sixth. So what's the point? Like, essentially, the question is, everyone picks one of those four, probably one of those three without Nico, if I had to guess, right? But those are the people. All I'll say is this. If you were overrated, I don't personally think, like, team accomplishments are the biggest deciding factor. I care about how you play and what I see game to game to game in the server. But everyone else in the world uses fucking rings and all that. So I'll just put this out there. Zywu has only ever won one prestige event ever, and it was the one, the major, where he played all the bombs in the playoffs. Like, every other contender you've got there, even my boys like Kenny S and Cold Zero, they've got prestige events they've won playing the best teams in the world and beating them, mate, and fragging out. Zywu's never done this. It's actually one of the weirdest things for real about Zywu's career that I don't understand as a fan. Is I spent all these years as the lone person saying Simple and Nico could be the best when they didn't win the tournaments. And everyone told me, you moron, without rings, it means nothing. And then for Zywu, he didn't even get one ring until the end of the game. And they already told me he was the greatest. It's like, you've used the opposite logic, guys. Like, what's weird is, if you notice, I was someone who always said, even before he won the major, on the eye test, he is like a GOAT contender, of course. Like, look how fucking sick he is in the game. So, look, on that one, I'm actually fine if people think that's bad. Obviously, I put a lot of spice on it with the most overrated of all time, like, in the history of the game. Like, and again, that's the one, like my fallen one, where to me, it's more just the fact that, like, technically anyone who's a bomber who was called the GOAT would be that, wouldn't it? So if someone said, like, Kirby was the GOAT, that would be the most overrated. But I'm doing it from people who could actually be a candidate. I'm just saying, by the typical ring criteria, you're basically picking someone with no Super Bowl rings. So I'm cool with that, but don't then tell me rings count, you know? Then we go to this take. Actually, I think you nailed this one, Kassad. You just said Heroic are not a top three team in 2023. And since that was in August, well, that was basically when they fell off a cliff and the ladder broke up. You actually, like, you got a bit lucky at that, but yeah, you nailed it, I think. By the end of 2023, they weren't a top three team. If you look at what they did over the year, right? The start of the year, well, but kind of fell off after that.
What
do you think, Maui? Did you get the W for that?
Sorry, could you restate it?
Heroic are not a top three team in 2023.
In 2023?
For the whole year.
The whole year? I think they were third. Wait, weren't they third? Like,
Vitality's number one, okay.
Vitality Phase, and then G2.
G2's in the mix somewhere.
Vitality Phase G2 would be probably... Well, I don't know if Phase were really third. Were they?
But they won the Grand Slam in that year. What do you mean?
Yeah, they won one event. They won one event.
They also won some CS2 stuff at the end, though. This isn't just CS2.
$1 million.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. True. Because of CS2, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think he got a bit lucky, but I'll give him that W, you know.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, it's funny, like, how you don't say, like,
I think what triggers him is that we gave him it.
I've got to think about it a minute, okay? I'm not going to just hand you an award. I'm just going to hand you a trophy without checking my rubric.
I love it.
The thing is, like, when I have to take an L, It's just like, yeah, it's not like you were unlucky there. But when I have to take a win, it's like, yeah, you were a bit lucky there. It's just, you can't have it both ways. Just either get the L or the win.
This isn't where you come to offer love and support, okay? This isn't the mental health support group, okay?
Yeah. Like, why is he,
you're looking to hire that person. We're not
why is he like right? Some like fucking high-maintenance girlfriend? Like, well, it's just the way you said it, though. You weren't wrong, but the way that you said it was just mean. I know.
Like, I'm just pointing out the people that you're being jackasses. Like, if you're going to, like, give me the L when I deserve it, just give me the win when I deserve it. Like, without these, like, back comments, like, yeah, you got lucky or some shit. Like,
of course. Yeah, it's all good. And then we came to this take, which was Maui's. And his this is a pretty spicy take. He said that current Kenny Monacy was better than prime Kenny S. Do you remember that take? That was a fucking, that was a spicy one. That was a spicy one. By the way, though, to be fair, that's like a less sexy take when he goes into it. Like, obviously, he's counting stuff like literally the level of play in the modern day and how people hop and stuff. Like, he's not really meaning in the purely abstract sense in that one. So I would say that's just like, that's more of an opinion. I don't think he can be right or wrong on that, right? Who could determine that? What would you say, Kassan? How was that take aged? Was it a good one?
I don't know. At the time, it was a garbage one, honestly. But okay. Right now, like...
Okay.
It was a garbage thing. Like, okay. But things like the right now, Monacy is just performing so good, like in all aspects. Like,
oh, he's amazing, like, yeah.
He's a monster, dude. So compare that to a monster like Prime of Kenny S, which was very scary era, sure. Right? Back in the day, yes. You couldn't face Kenny S. Wherever he goes, you know that you're dead, right?
Yes.
You cannot counter the guy because he's so mobile. He's so, like, you know, aggressive and agile as an opera. It's just very, very difficult. And the same thing is now Monacy. Just a little bit upgraded version because he can rifle too. Like, very good as well.
I'll
so
just say
kind of Maui in a semi-win there.
I would have given that an L. At the time, I would have given it an L, but obviously, Monacy has even gotten better. So I think actually it's probably aged better than it was at the time. Like, now it's actually an interesting debate, potentially. Right, then we had this one. I've noticed there are a lot of themes where we basically just have teams and players we just hit on. So Kassad had one where he said, and this was correct, he said Team Liquid won't make a single big final for a whole year. Working out thus far, mate. It's working out thus far.
Well, did I get lucky there too, or...?
You can't let that go, can you?
I can't.
Stuck on that luck thing, Maui. You can't get over it. Listen, Kassad, in life there's a saying in English that it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, there is a song in Serbian similar to that.
There you go.
Maybe I'm just
so basically, you just need to make Bleed really lucky.
Yeah.
It's all right. Don't
because
worry
we cannot
it.
Get any good.
Yeah, that's the joke. That's the joke. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Now, SE also, the reason why, this is why you should stick to these shows, mate. On these shows, you can just argue any old bollocks. Like, oh, I think that's actually not an L in the game. You should take the L. There's no debate. You can't submit a report to Gabe. Like, well, actually, Gabe, the way we were doing the T side, though, we deserve more rounds. It's like, doesn't matter. We don't get anything for that.
Doesn't matter.
No. And then here we go. We've almost, this is a spicy one, actually. Thorin said, Huxley still isn't a top three Danish IGL because we're using that whack angle to hit on. Basically, you have to have creative ways to hit on Huxley. Like, my angle there was that he's not even in Denmark, but the joke there is Denmark had all the best IGLs, didn't they? So, like, I was kind of being a bit cheeky there because essentially at that point in time, top three in Denmark just is top three in the world. So, I think I take a W, but it was just a mean way to hit on Huxley.
I don't think you need to get creative to hit Huxley as a player, though, because before the imbeciles start like going crazy.
Oh, he seems alright as a person. It's okay.
I don't know. I mean, probably the best guy ever, or whatever. Like, but the thing is, like, as a player, like you don't have to be creative to hit. You just look at the games and that's it.
Wait, who are you saying is better than him? Like, if he's
this
not
was when you had
three,
because you had Cadian, Snappy, and Kerrigan.
Okay, Cadian, Kerrigan, and
yeah. So, like I say, it's actually one that just sounds super sexy on the surface. It's like a cheeky, just normal one that everyone would agree with otherwise, except for people who be hooksing. Then Maui had this one. Like, obviously, this one hasn't finished yet, so we can't actually judge this one. He said, Frozen will be a top three rifler for the next 3 years. Like, well, obviously, we've got many years to go on that one still. But tell you what, it's not looking bad so far. I'd say he's probably on that cusp right now. Look, it doesn't help that Dom came in, so he's probably right on the. I think he's the third or fourth or fifth or something. He's in that vein. Remember, Axel's dropped off. We've got to. I think he's not far. Because if we're doing the list would
he's
be
not
like
even close. Like, so he's not also close. Like,
yeah, but then again, where's Nico at the moment? So you know.
Yeah, but
so.
Rops,
there's one. Donk, I guess we only got one tournament. Spinks. We're assuming Donk, Spinks. Okay, Donk. so he's on the borderline, like I say. He's just on the outside to me. So, put it this way, bear in mind he's got 2+ years. He's got time to do it. Like, if he gets
also,
better.
Split.
Okay.
Yeah, no, nothing.
No, because the problem is they never go to the tournaments, do they? I agree. I think he could be better. I don't know if they go to enough tournaments for that.
Flit might be in a vacuum.
Oh, there is Nerds as well. That's not bad.
Nerds.
Nerds? Like, No, he hasn't been playing well versus for Heroic.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Well.
Oh,
a tough
come on, Maui. Like, he's been looking worse for Heroic. You're just talking out of your ass right now.
Okay,
like,
I will guarantee you, Kassad, I will bet you $100 right now that Frozen finishes higher than Nerds in the rankings in HLTV for this year. $100.
That's just a trap, isn't it? One place for FaZe, the other one place for Heroic. Though, like,
then don't take Nerds. Then don't invoke Nerds' name.
You cannot give me the even odds there. That if I give you $100, then you can give me $500. Like if I win, like that's just the way it is.
Gotta give him small.
50 to 100. I'll give you 100. You give me 50.
Right. Okay. 2-1.
Yeah, I'll give you 2-1.
Again, bullshit. Like they're playing with Nikodos.
Okay, I'll give you 100. You give me $30.
Done.
Okay.
All right, done.
Frozen will finish higher in the rankings than Nerds this year.
We've already got a few to go now. So then we go to the last take of that episode, which, believe it or not, this is how you actually know Kassad isn't just a Nico stan. He actually disagreed with me. I said that Nico was the second best CSGO player of all time. That was my hot take. I said he was, because my point was, if you take everything off and you just look at the eye test, I think Nico's eye test is unbelievable, mate. It's like 8 years of just being a fucking star. He was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like his number.
It's a hot take. It's a hot take, obviously. So, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right.
Yeah, it's just an opinion. Yeah, it's all good. Right, then we go to episode 14, which was the same month, but at the end of August. Thorin had the take, fans go overboard with stats worship. More of an opinion again.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I do agree with that one. It's garbage. Yeah. Like, now that I'm back in the game a little bit, a lot. The thing is, like, it is, like, it's crazy. Like, how true that is.
Yes.
Like they don't see past numbers. Like they don't see past fucking stats. They don't see shit in the game that other people do that like makes those numbers like happen.
Oh man, the two players for me, for real, that show that stats is just worshipped as like an absolute, like if the number's high, you must be good. It's like on the low end, it's like players like Inters, where the fans like, they see his numbers and they think like, he's like Hooksy, he can't frag. It's like, they're not even playing vaguely the same way, you idiot. Like that number isn't equivalent. And then on the higher end, I mean, everyone agrees now because he won the major, but I always thought everyone underrated Magus. Because what you all did is go to HLTV when he was in Vitality and you saw he had like, what the hell, he only has like a 1.08 rating. It's like, bro, he probably got like every fucking entry and won every clutch in the game. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that 1.08 isn't a 1.08 from fucking Rops having a bad series, you know what I mean? Like, that's a fucking bang of 1.08. So, to me, I think that's just a classic one that'll always be an evergreen take on that. I was more going against fans on that one, obviously, because they think it does matter. Right, Kassad then had a take. This is an interesting one. I'll see what you think of this, Maui. Kassad's take was that the tier 2 and tier 3 players wouldn't be better in CS2. I think the context was in the idea that people think, oh, it's a new game, so maybe people will just be like twice as good. And then, you know, essentially there was all those people who said they were going to come back to the game or whatever. I think his take was that it'd be a similar enough game. It wouldn't like boost you that much. What do you think? Would you agree with him or disagree?
I think that was a no.
They were better?
The tier 2 and 3 players?
Wrong. Yeah, I think I was wrong.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, tier 2 and 3 has just, the floor has risen a lot.
It did. Yeah. Like, it's different. It's a lot different right now. Okay. Tier 2 players are sharp as fuck right now.
Yeah.
Like, a bunch of tier 3 players. It's not that just, it's also the fact that they have more resources right now. There's so much shit that you can see on YouTube, on all these things. Yes. And they, what the old players learned in 6 months and improved in 6 months, the new young players improve in 1 month. So that's the difference right now. And I think I overlooked that. That's why it's an L. I was a bit unlucky there.
Okay. And then there was the take that, this one hasn't ended yet, but we'll just put it out there. Let's see what you think, Maui. Kassad also had the take that in 2024, Spinks would be Vitality's best player. Now that is a fucking scathing hot take. But okay. That technically hasn't ended yet, because he could still technically be right. All I'm going to say is, if the air quality is like it was in Katowice, might be possible. Because, by the way, that meme has actually, for real, transcended the show, because it was never even a serious fucking meme. But it's actually like, the joke is, Maui, it's actually a better guide for if he will do well than actually watching the matches. I know it sounds mad, but it is. It actually has worked so far, hasn't it? It's crazy. It's,
Well, the funniest thing about that thing is still like the fact that in Washington D.C. in the spring finals, when there was literally like the Montreal or the Quebec fires that came down to the East Coast, he had like one of his worst events also of the year. Also, it's gotten so bad, it's gotten so popular that people are just saying it on broadcast all the time now. I know that, and I think like behind the scenes, like I don't think Katowice and Carmack are entirely
They won't be liking that, no doubt. I know, yeah, exactly.
They don't like that take at all.
That's like anti-PR at that point in time. Yeah,
it is. Because the whole point of them being in Katowice is that it's supposed to be a tourist thing for them, letting them use the Smodek for cheaper.
Dude. Whereas you've actually made it, even though they've never been there, that like you can't even breathe air there. Like, you made it sound like they're like underground in a mine or something, you know? Like, I will say it. By the way, if you don't realize as well, that the joke that Maui's actually done with that angle, this is why the cultural impact one's a good one as well, is you need to have like your own shit that people associate with your brand in the same way as I have like my own thing. I mean, the joke is mine, it's just that he hates Fallen and Zebra or whatever, but like I have my own shit too. So then we go to a Maui take here. It's an interesting one. He said in August last year that Ence was the best team in the world. Now, all I'm going to say is this, because I didn't win shit after that, of course, so... I think you took the L on that one. What do you think?
And they fall apart.
They did fall apart and sell the team. Yeah, true. So I think he takes the L on that one. So this is not a huge one. Yeah, it's an L.
It's up there.
It's an L. He was reaching for something, but you don't always.
I get his angle. He was like, they're on Dallas. They're like playing these finals. Yeah. But he didn't take into account that, you know, they cannot hold the team, and he obviously fucked up there. So yeah, it's an L.
By the way, I agree. Yeah, I also think it's a well-intentioned one. Like, if you looked at eye test-wise, they were really good at the time. The problem is, as you say, Kassan, they were never going to keep that team anyway. Like, it was inevitable they were going to be going. I had a take. Some of these, I actually realised, I shouldn't have just written the take down, because some of the context is like, fuck, even I can't remember the context on this. So then I had a take that said, Ziwu stands, no, he isn't the best player. And I think it was, and what fucked up angle would I even have that they know he's not the best player? Oh, I think it was actually yours, Maui. I think it was the idea of like, if he's the best, why do they never say what I do? Which is, well, the eye test says he's the best. They always go with like, but look at the stats or look at this, but where's Simple? And where's Simple run by it? It's like, bro, if he's just the best, isn't the first, like, it's why I've always been suspicious, by the way, about Messi fans. They do the same thing as I'd, yeah, but who has more Ballon d'Or? No. Just tell me with your eyes who was the best. The number one thing you should be saying if you think Messi's the best football player is, I've never seen a better football player. Well, it's a brilliant argument. I can't debate that. I can just say what I've seen, can't I? Or ask you what you've seen. But they don't ever do that for Ziwu. If you notice, they never just say, he's obviously the best. Look at the screen, you idiot. They go, weird stats thing, or well, he's never had a land map below 1.0. Like, bro, if he's the best, just say he's the best. Just tell me he's the best. Wouldn't that be where he'd start?
This is where the whole like cultural impact take really like plays big on this, because it's just that admittedly, since I made that take, there's been some more like iconic Ziwu moments and things like that. But so often it was just kind of like, oh, look at this, like his multi-kill percentage, or like, look at, oh, he's got a 47 map streak of 1.0 plus rating. And it's like, okay, like just say, literally, if you can't say, look at your screen, then, you know, like, look at what he's doing. That's why so many people are ready to crown someone like Monacy. Like, it's just like, look at your screen.
Yeah, agreed. By the way, that's even one area where I do think sometimes those of us who do obsess over stats, sometimes we go too hard on people. Like, the joke is there'll be someone who's like the interviewer girl who'll be like, my top three players were these people. And then everyone's going in like, you fucking moron. It's like, she just means she watched them and thought they were good, for fuck's sake. Like, it wasn't some like authoritative take from Mount Zion of like, this is the reality, the truth of reality from God himself. Like, people go too far on that one. As long as it's not egregious, as long as you're not like, you know, when Vitality wins a major, you're not like, Dupree could be the GOAT. Like, as long as it's something like, I just think Rops is super sick. Yeah, okay, he is. Just whether or not we think he's better or worse than the others. Then we had this one. This was an interesting one. Let's see where Maui goes on this one. Kassad said... What I love is how half the takes aren't even about the take. They're just about like, oh, he's back on that shit again. So you ready? Kassad's take one. Remember, this is after they've won Cologne. What a hater take this is. He goes, if Snappy joined G2, they would have an era. Right after Huxley just won like Cologne. Like, it's like, Huxley, I'm going to let you finish. But if Snappy had been here, he'd have won an era by now. Like, I love it. I love the like dedication to haterism, though. I love it. It's brilliant.
Yes, you have to stick to your, like, you know, your path.
Of course.
Okay. Yes. Sometimes. Exactly. But the thing is, like, yeah, that was, I mean, they did win Cologne. again.
I sort of agree with it still, mate. Like look, no one can have that team because JKS is gone. But if I think if you gave Snappy that team, that would be like my dream for him, mate. I think it would be amazing.
Exactly.
That'd be really amazing.
That was the point of the take. Yeah. That was the point of the take. They would win more. But like, it's when you say it like that, then you sound like an idiot, right?
No.
And, it's just, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
So basically, that is just an opinion, but Loki, I actually agree anyway, who gives a fuck, right?
I'm just convinced that Cassad is just campaigning all the time for certain things that he's like founded these arguments, and he's just never going to let go. Even if Hooksy wins a Grand Slam, it's going to be like, would have been two Grand Slams with Snappy.
Yes. No, the joke is like, Cassad is the guy where you're just like, oh, kind of a bit rainy weather. And he's like, yeah, and that's also why Hooksy needs to be fired. And you're like, what? Okay, holy shit, all right. He's one-track mind. Okay, he's always on it. Okay, I'm with you. Then we had one. I'll actually leave it to you two, even though, by the way, we're all incredibly biased in different angles on this one. I then said that the golden era of CSGO broadcasting is over, said someone from the golden era who no longer works in broadcasting or any of his friends. And then I said that to two people who work as the new era of broadcast. So I don't know. You guys tell me, was that an L take, a W take? Where would you go on that one?
The thing is, like, I don't know how to be, like, on my side and on your side at the same time, because I do low-key think that the broadcast before was more entertaining.
Okay.
Like, because simply because the personalities on the broadcast was like, were not like too worried about like, yeah, am I going to get the hate message? Sure. Is it going to be a Reddit thread about me? Is it going to be a fucking HLTV forum thread? People didn't care back then. Like, some of the OG people today in the broadcast, they still don't care. And those are the most entertaining people.
For sure,
in the thing,
yes.
Right? And that's why I always like try to be myself, whatever. Like, I don't care what people say and they make the threats or not. I just say what I think because that's what they're paying me to do that.
Sure.
Right. And, you know, I have some of my things that go overboard, but overall I do say what I think. And I think that was the golden era of broadcast back then, because when you were there, Richard and a bunch of other people as well, right? People were just like, making shows are entertaining. Like, the content, the product they were producing was so much more fluid and more like, you know, back and forth and funny. And then now it's everybody's like scared to say what they think. Not everyone, but a bunch of people are scared to say what they think, so they don't get into any conflicts, so they don't end up on Reddit, so they don't end up not getting hired because people hate them, right? Like, but they don't understand everything like that. It's good television, right? It's good product. And the TOs, they fucking love it. Most of them.
Oh, sure, yes.
Like, when your clip gets on top of Reddit,
yes.
When you, like, you know, you do that shit, like, and they love it, right? But there are a bunch of people who are afraid to say that. Obviously, you don't need to be a jackass. You don't need to be a, you know, whatever.
No, I just throw that in for free. That's just a service I add additionally on top.
Just... The thing is like...
I don't have to do it. It's not required, believe it or not, guys. But, you know, just do it anyway. Also, I'll just say, like... the reason why I think I automatically have to take the W there is the aforementioned Hedya thing. In the modern day, you just go, this team that's the favourite who got wrecked didn't turn up, and they go, leave the studio. It's like, that's not really the world I was from, guys. I think my world's a bit raw. I was, like, smashing baguettes and stuff, wasn't I, you know?
one thing I would bring up, I might have brought this up on that episode, I remember, but it's just that now, unfortunately, as before it was a lot more personality and conversation-driven, and it was almost like a lot of the desk segments were like a mini podcast right there. Stuff today is a lot more asset driven. Like, they basically want to have like almost like a PowerPoint slideshow of like, hey, we made all these graphics and assets. And to the credit of the TOs right now, they've put together teams that can actually are worthwhile to use them. Like, if we request a graphic the night before or like a really good package, they actually usually come up with the goods on that stuff. So it's nice.
The thing is, like, it's also the thing with like people on the talent like list, right? They have the freedom, at least we did in ESL, to just, you know, do whatever we want, kind of bring up ideas.
Yes.
Like, they gave us the options to give ideas. Bunch of people, they're not giving ideas. They just let the producers do the stuff, and the producers are doing their stupid thing where they, like, have 50 different, like, graphics and 18 different interviews, which ends up being, like, ass, right? Instead of, like, contributing themselves and saying, listen, I'm going to say this and this and this, and you make me this graphic while I'm communicating about this player and saying exactly this, you're going to play it. You're going to post it. Like, and producers will be fine, right, with that. Otherwise, we just have people, like I said, just letting the The producers do everything. Sometimes. Right.
By the way, obviously, I want to get through a lot of these takes, but I'll just say one thing on this topic. It's actually an interesting idea I want to put forwards. And believe it or not, you might not know this, but I know for a fact for many of my shows, people who are like the top execs of like ESL Plus, they watch these shows. They actually do care what like community opinion is, especially by the way, if you're OG, like if it's a Richard Lewis thing, they're going to watch to find out what he thinks about the business or does he have a good idea. So sometimes, by the way, they do take good ideas. So here's one I'm going to give you for free. The actual person that you should hire for the desk, because as Maui says, it was the opposite in my day. In my day, we talked and a guy in production scrambled to put a graphic or a something on screen that we were talking about. And essentially he followed us with the answer. Now, as Maui says, it's the other way around. Like people like Freya and the hosts know what's coming next. And they're directing the conversation towards the player that the graphic's coming from, the team on this, the help entries or whatever. There's what you need. At the moment, the only problem is the assets are quite simple. I'll tell you literally what I would do. I would hire that Nero guy that we had on Snake and Banter, because if you noticed how he has had some of the best graphic stats. He had two that were brilliant. One was the one that was about how much are people lurkers or aggressive, that one he made into islands, which was just a graph. And the other one I thought was mega. These are both things that would be mega for use on broadcast. Was, you remember the one he did last year that was like how who has like a step up in the arena games versus the group? Those are mega graphics, by the way. That's the sort of shit. You put that on screen, someone like Maui Maniac, they could just go for like 10 minutes on that if you need to. Like, there's so many cool, like, that's a, it was also, notice with his, he did a very interesting visual way to show it. It wasn't just a graphic with data. I would love that shit on broadcast. That would be brilliant to talk about.
Exactly. Like, I also like people who will oppose me at the desk, right? Like, sure. If you disagree with me on the opinion on something that I said, just bring it up. Let's debate it. Like, it doesn't have to be for 10 minutes. It can be 60 seconds, right? Where we go back and forth. No, this is because of that. No, you are wrong. That's why I like being on the desk with Yanko and Maniac sometimes, because he opposes me, but he does not that sharp. Yanko is a bit different, but I like debating them, right? In on the desk. So that's what makes it interesting, right? And then I would rather do that than follow up the graphics and talk about the boring stuff and like, phase is playing against Roaster or something, right? It's just what you talk about
I mean, with the stuff that Nero does, and still with full credit to him, obviously, but it's just the way that if you're on the inside of HLTV, you have all the demos parsed and you have all the data at your fingertips in spreadsheets that are more manipulable. You can manipulate that data a lot better than if what we're doing, because a lot of the graphics that like all TOs have to work with, and even us as talent, is just like, we're just kind of sifting through HLTV using the limited parameters that they allow us to use. And so like, it's a lot easier for them to like highlight certain elements and then say, this is playoff data, this is not data. Like, we would have to like the amount of like just like data mining we would have to go through and scraping is so much harder than just like, and that sounds like kind of like a lazy thing, like just do the work. It's like, no, they literally have a spreadsheet that is like
easy to manipulate. Absolutely.
Like if you've worked as like, you know, I studied stats, like getting an XLS spreadsheet and just getting to use that versus having to literally manually input things from HLTV is just night and day different. Like it's not the same.
Yes. Right. Okay. Then we had the last take on that episode. You're obviously right on this one. This is how quickly the Cloud9 hype died. Remember, it was only like two episodes earlier that we were like, Cloud9, Kassad's take was Cloud9 won't win any more events in the next 6 to 8 months. I think you nailed that one. They did indeed not win anything. So there you go.
I mean,
W for that one.
Even if that hasn't finished, it will finish with him being
right. they're definitely going to do it. I know, exactly.
They're not winning anything. No.
Right. Then we had on 6th of September, episode 15. So we only got three to go here. Maui said, this is just an opinion, introducing skins into CSGO was the worst thing Valve ever did to the esport. I don't think that's changed. If you agreed, then you agree. Then if you didn't, you don't.
So what do you think about the stickers now? What do you think about the sticker manipulation now?
By the way, that one part does blow my mind. You know, when people first saw that some of those stickers don't even look right, I was like, guys, you had one job for real. Even the game stuff, fans might think the game has to be like CSGO. No. The only thing you had to nail was make the stickers work, because that was the thing with the gun skins that were transferred over. The idea you fucked that up, it actually does amaze me that they blew that, because that's the cash cow to me, you know? I think that's wild, yeah. I do still think that skins, I think Richard has nailed it, by the way. If you want to talk about branding, it is so funny that Richard made that term skin cells for people who are like incels, but for skin. Like, if you ever see them, they're nutters, mate. They're just people who are like, all they're obsessed with is just skins in the game. Like, and by the way, they are like real, like some sort of like fucking like rat-like human hybrid race who lives in the sewers or something. They're not even like humans, mate. It's like a level of degeneracy. It's like, you know, CSGO skins, not even once. Like one of those drunk commercials, you know, like. And by the way, I'll just throw this out there. The people who just use the different letters from different teams to spell out like slurs on their AK, like just grow up.
Oh my God.
Just, come on, just grow up. Not least because that costs so much money to do that, you dickhead. Like, it's so worthless. Yeah. Like, how many stickers did you have to waste to write a slur on the gun, you idiot? Like, I mean, and also, you're just not an OG. If you were OG, you'd do like Zeus and just put it as the name of the weapon.
I'm pretty sure yesterday, I don't know.
Shout out for the old school fans who know that one. Come on.
Nico had the gun on Ancient versus FaZe. I don't know whose USP it was, but it spelled FAP on it. I was like, dude, come on. Like someone on G2.
Probably Hoaxy, I imagine.
These days, I don't even know which words are like, you know, acceptable.
This is a great take already. I love it already.
Like, I don't even know.
It's like some sort of Archie Bunker-esque character in Yano.
Obviously there are some obvious words, right? Like, you can use. But like, at this point, like, whatever you say is wrong.
It's true.
Like, what the fuck?
It's true. Like, it's just such a great take from someone who looks like you, Cassandra, or me. That's all, an old boomer just going, you can't even bloody say anything. You're just wrong all the time. I love it. Yeah, I love the vibe.
It's all perfect. It's man yelling at cloud.
It's great. I love it. It's brilliant. But I also do agree with the serious point. You've got a point there. Right, moving on. This is one, again, this is just an opinion. I just said that I thought the Intel Grand Slam should include non-ESL events. That's obviously a hot take in the sense that, like, well, they don't include events they don't sponsor. I just meant because if it could include the whole circuit, it would be the dopest accomplishment you could ever have. Imagine if it really was just you win four big tournaments and you get, like, a ring or something. That would be kind of cool, right? Just an opinion.
What do you consider a big tournament? Like, Blast Finals? Is that a big tournament?
Well, that's obviously the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. It's including the majors.
Yeah, that's major. That's it.
Right? Yeah, it's more the major. Like, if you have a PGL major, I'd want it included, you know. It's more that, yeah.
It doesn't make, like, business.
No, it doesn't at all. I'm with you on that one. Then here's one. I tell you what, this is actually a banger because, obviously, you turned out to be right. Kassad said, if Kay Cerato doesn't leave Furia for Team Liquid, he is going to ruin his career forever. Now, obviously, we haven't had forever yet, but I think so far it's pretty good, isn't it? Sort of nailed that. Even though, as Maui pointed out, he has won a LAN.
He won at least a Masters, whatever Masters tournament is. Like, I don't care. Like, just come on, grow up.
I love it. Like, then we had this take from Maui, which I'll let you be the judge of this one, Kassad. He said Brolan needs to go back to a Swedish roster. So very much a sort of Chad-esque take nowadays. So what do you think? Did Brolan indeed need to go back to a Swedish roster? Is that surely that's like a small L, isn't it? Because he has sort of been good on Mouse, hasn't he? What do you say?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a big one, though. Like, I got the sentiment.
Age-wise, he fits into that lineup because they're all young and he's like a 22, 23. Sure. And he's a little bit introvert. He's like super quiet and stuff. I don't know how that fits into his, like, into these personalities that, you know, Mouse has with, like, you know, all this, for example, Torzi, he's Hungarian, you know, that they're a Balkan region, it's like they're loud, they're this, and obviously the Shui is like Polish, and it's like, it's not the same, right? When Nordic people that are just like, you know, zombies pretty much sometimes, right? It's just, I don't know if that's a good move for him. So far, it's out to be judged, but the thing is, like, was it better for him if he had a Swedish lineup 100%? Like, I think he would perform better.
I think that's one where I don't even think... I don't think that's an L or a W. I think it's just in the middle. Like, it's not a bad take.
If people want to go back to that episode, I pulled up all the stats for when Brolin was on Swedish rosters versus when he was on English-speaking rosters and how it was just... It wasn't even, like, Krieg nerf, which a lot of people cited as, like, Brolin's fall-off.
Right.
It was literally when he switched to an English team.
Right, okay.
That's when his performances...
Oh, yeah, let's disregard the imbalanced Krieg completely. Like, surely it has at least 30% of your take is connected to Krieg.
Well, no. I mean, it was just disproving a little bit that
it's a community narrative. He means, yeah, he means it. Fans think it's just the Krieg nerf.
It's like saying Breeze would be the same player as when the Krieg was on. Like, it's that makes sense.
Brolin literally had better stats once the Krieg was nerfed. He literally, as soon as the Krieg was nerfed in the next 3-6 months, he just had better stats.
I tell you what, I think this next take has aged fabulously well. I mean, obviously, I didn't know I'd be recording this episode now. My take was the current NIP lineup is a complete waste of everyone involved's time. By the way, the joke on that one is you could say that any time in the last, like, 3 years.
Yeah, that's been my take for the last, like, 3 months or 6 months even.
Lineup when you said that.
I think this is when Dexter came in, if I had to guess. I think it's when he came. No, you went to Fnatic. What am I talking about? Who was it? It must be when Hampus took over as IGL. I think this is when Alexi B had just left to Na'Vi, maybe.
And then Harpus came back, and then, but he stayed a little bit just.
Yeah, but it's because they had that roster that was like Brawlan, Rez, Config. It's like that lineup never worked, did it ever? Like, just that's why, if you remember, the reason I said it was a waste of everyone's time is I actually think all the players could be better in other teams. Like, I don't think any of those players are bad. I mean, look, Essetag wasn't great, but even he could be on an all right team and be okay. He could be on some shitter team, obviously.
The thing is, like, well, I don't know, I'm not going to talk about Essetag, but the thing is, like, when it comes to NIP, I do think, I mean, it's hard to say, I do think they're going to be seeing some better days, because obviously it cannot be worse than this.
Sure,
right?
Yes,
but
of course.
That's the, you know, backstory. But the thing is, like, I do like Eric, who is NIP, Eric Vander, who worked with ESL. I think because we worked with him when the company acquired Hampus, seemed to be very, okay, you know, open about things, and he was like very professional. He seemed to have a normal vision about whatever is happening in the scene. And they also fired or lost their COO.
Oh, sure.
Jonas, yes, whatever his name is, right? So he was a massive, like, you know, kind of obstacle for that team right now. And I think removing him or him leaving is going to help that organization. Right now they're on a rock bottom, that's fine, but they still have, you know, time to repair. I think those two, the Eric there and Threat being there, is also, you know, not the worst thing. I think they can direct them a little bit better than they are right now, but a lot of changes are need to be there. It still blows my mind that the player like that kid Maxter, who is in their academy team, isn't playing instead of Essetag.
No, it's mad, isn't it?
It's just crazy to me, because this is the player they needed, right? He's a support player. He's a good kid as well, very disciplined kid. I had the conversations with him. You know, I had a call where he was supposed to come to us, but then the PGL admin fucked the whole deal. I'm going to talk about it when the time comes. But the thing is, like, the thing is, like, he's perfect for that role, and they just chose Essetag. And you know what happened, like, and also that Alex, the guy who came from the Spanish guy. He left the team, and then they bet 0-3, and then his old team qualified. Like, that's so rough for him. This actually ties in though
to the next take, which was Maui. And if you remember, this was in September, so it was before release of Masters. He actually said Nork is the best Swedish player. I think you nailed it
at the time, but I think that now it's Brolin or Nock, actually.
They're both good, though. Both good.
I'll tell you this, that Hampus is the Swedish best player.
Okay.
Listen, it's not yet. Yeah, that's for later in the hot take section. We're reviewing old hot takes. Save that shit for later. So we'll get to that in a year from now.
You're like, that one needs to come with a disclaimer.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had this one. Look, I actually think, I'm going to say already, I think this one's an L. Kassad said, give Cold Zero a second chance.
Was I drunk?
Yes.
What's bad is, remember, I say it's September. We're saying that like it's 10 years ago. Like, it's only February now. Like, what the hell happened in like 4 months? I don't know.
I think I must have been like under some influence or something. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just I guess that's an L.
It's all right. You just take that. Well, listen, to be fair, in the last episode, I did say Kenny S would qualify for the Blast Paris Major. So we all get caught up in nostalgia, you know.
Exactly. I just caught up in imagination.
I loved Cold Zero too, but, you know, I've just got to let him go now. He's hurting me and himself too much. So that's it. Then the last take of that episode, there's two episodes to go, was, I mean, this is just an opinion again. I just said that Blame F can't be bad or a below average player like plebs fucking tell me he is. Like, again, you don't have to think he's the best player, but he's clearly fucking good. Like, he just is, isn't he? Like, I have eyes, I can see he is good. I feel like that one's just an all right take.
If the take is like Blame is good, you nailed it. Great fucking job.
No, but dude, I'm not joking. Maui, you come back. People actually think he's like a net negative to a team, don't they? People actually think he's like a cancer to the team or something, like, and stats wise.
He's a cancer to the team, but he's a beta, But
he is, but he's good at it. He's good at it, though.
That's kind of the same people. It's like, I mean, I think I backed you up on that take because people just look at Blame F and they just want to hate him so badly because he looks like the guy that pushed him into a locker when they were in high school. But
yeah, probably that's him.
The thing is, like,
give him a swirly.
I would like Blame F not to call because, like, if you were a baiter and you call everything in your own favor, like, that just
bad. I'm with you on that.
If you are a baiter, then go bait, deliver my frags, and do your thing, whatever, right? Follow the protocols, do your thing, and fine. But don't call everything in your fucking, you know, favor so you can play the best round. It's like four more people there.
I mean, the obvious joke I would make is the name of the fucking role is leader, and you're always the last one coming from behind. So I just think on a literal level, you aren't the leader. You're the one fucking coming behind, aren't you, to clean up? So there you go. If you know what we call someone who comes at the end to clean up at the end of the day? A janitor, not a leader. You're not the CEO, you are the janitor. Right, then we'll do them two episodes to go. We'll do some of these quick. Right, Maui, says... I actually think you've been proven right on this one. You speculated before Richard or anyone had put it out there that actually Yabby and Stown, the reason they did that play of saying kick Cadian is they actually thought Heroic would go, well, no, we're keeping Cadian, and therefore they'd go to Astralis. Like, that was actually your take. I would say, based on what Richard and others have brought, I believe that was even proven to be correct, that like the idea was internally they didn't think they were going to get booted, right? Or maybe, yeah. No, they did think they were going to get booted, sorry, so they could get to Astralis easy and quick without costing money, I believe.
Yeah, it seems like that was a conspiracy theory that was proven actually true.
Based on the reporting, yeah, as far as I know, it's just true. I mean, it's rare case when we got the inside
many before. Conspiracy theories, but once I do, they're always right.
Okay, fair enough.
Flat Earth or something?
No, that's not one.
Oh yeah, because
I don't reveal them to the general public.
Yeah. Plus, and the point of this show is that we have to verify whether it's correct or not. Obviously, none of us can go beyond the 33rd parallel. Anyway, so on episode 16, which was the same one, then I had the take. Tell you what, this is only in October. I think I've killed it so far. I said Twists would be second best to Elysian CS2. Obviously, CS2 has a long way to go, but thus far, I'll take the W there. That's an easy W for me, I'm afraid, boys.
Why would you take the W there based on what? Like one event?
Are you fucking kidding me? Elysian's been good every single CS2 event he's played, mate. Are you out of your mind? The team is trash, by the way, but he's mega. He's good even when they fucking lose. Go watch. He's mega. What's Twists doing? Aside from just going like, hey, Cadian, I loved you in that episode of that reality. Before you fucking talk about your dickhead, just be a pro player. Why are you a fan of his? By the way, Twists,
like
Twists, you were winning. Twists, you like, were winning the Grand Slam when Cadian was watching on like North teams in the crowd. And you're like, Cadian, I've just always wanted to play with you. Come on.
Do you know how much resources does Elish take in that team? Like all the resources in the routes are going
all that
to
he
him.
Needs, all that he needs, and then he tell you what he gives you, like, straight fire.
All the resources, and look at Liquid, and look at their team right now. Let's open up the rankings. They have Nap. He takes up resources. Yekindar, I'm not even going to talk about that. Cadian, as well as an IGL. The only one who is playing without taking, again, all of these things is Skulls.
So you agree with me then? Logically, if he doesn't have any resources, he can't be doing more. So you agree with me?
Or he's not doing more and he cannot like be called out as a second guy because he doesn't have the same resources as Elish.
Nah, he's called. I called him out. It's too late. I called him out. I called him out and I declare myself W on that one. Okay, I refuse to accept any L. I'm doing your tactic. I'm just refusing to take an L this round. I'm taking the W. I win no matter what.
There's just nothing that really Twist has done other than play these Blast Spring groups where Liquid did they even make it to the... Did they qualify for even the final?
I don't know. They didn't. Liquid failed everything, if you remember, at the beginning. That was the sad thing.
And I told you this, Liquid. I think like, I agree at some point with you on this one because I said that Leash is a smarter player than Twist is because he brings more to the team than Twist does when it comes to ideas, when it comes to the structure. But again, he takes up a lot more resources than
don't,
Twist.
Don't give a fuck, mate. So here's the thing. The next take is a Cassard one, and I want to see what Maui thinks. This take, 28th of October 2023, Fallen is still the best Brazilian AWPer.
Oh my god.
By the way, I don't know what Cassard was doing this month between September and October. He's just like the last dance biggest fan ever. I know. Like,
I literally feel like
Cold Zero back, Fallen, some shit. Like, what are these takes? Holy fuck.
Yeah. I feel like Cassard just started, like, he just rewatched Columbus over and over again so, and just like forgot that was in the past or something. How are you making these takes?
Yeah, because there is
what
so
is the
many
inspiration
good,
to these?
There are so many good opers in Brazil right now. Name them. You fucker, name them.
Safe.
Zeddy, what? I would rather drink my own piss right now. Here, look at it.
That's not really his own piss, guys. Obviously,
yeah, that's a bit far.
Listen, we're not on Twitch, but that's not his own piss. I promise you. Please don't demonetize the video. So, right, anyway, look. That, by the way, that was not even really false. It's just a funny take, isn't it? Here's a good one though. Maui Snake said CS2 doesn't require high level in game leading.
Chopper,
what do you think, Cassard?
What do you think? Chopper just won an event.
Is that an L?
L, that's an L. You know, I think I might have agreed with him back then. But the thing is, like, I was in that twilight era, so it doesn't count. But I do think the IGLs are doing a lot of things right now, because I'm watching a lot of games every day. And I see some of these things, like Chopper, for example. He's one of the... I was going to use this as a hot take, but I'm going to skip it and say it like here. I think he's one of the most underrated in-game leaders right now, because if you look at his game right now and the things, how he deals with certain problems in the meta and how he deals with the meta itself and how he leads the team, it's quite unbelievable. And individually, how he plays his spots is just something on the next level that I haven't seen in this, you know, Eastern European IGLs. See what I did there?
So I remember the take is just more like, it's actually not even as much about CS2, it's more about MR12, because you can have a good two-side half by winning pistol round, getting three rounds off of that, and then winning one gun round and resetting them because the economy is so bad for CTs.
Because
that's kind of
so,
like...
Because it's so easy to win the T-pistol, yeah?
Well, obviously, it's like saying,
the only thing that I need to do to get like $1 million...
Let him cook!
Like red four times in a row with the starting money with what is it? 135.
Yeah.
Okay. If I hit four times in a row, that's already $1 million that I can buy whatever I want. Like, pistols are a gamble. There is nothing to do with skill or tactics or structure there. You stack aside. If they come to you, you win. If they don't come to you, you lose. And if you go default, that's still 50-50.
This is arguing in favor of my point. This is literally arguing in favor of my point, because I'm saying
absolutely
that.
Absolutely isn't.
Yes, because you don't need if you don't need a good in-game leader and it's a random pistol round, then you're just going to get three rounds based off of a random event. So IGLing is literally less important.
You want your team to win randomly a pistol so you can maybe get a decent, rather than having an IGL that can call three full gun rounds and win you the round?
I see what he means. Right, he means that, like, aside from the pistol, you're going to need the IGL to win all the other rounds, he means.
Imagine if you have a good IGL, you win the pistol and have a good IGL that can deliver after pistol, you get six, seven rounds.
Okay.
See what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
Are you picking up what they're putting down here?
I've seen enough good in air quotes halves from teams where they just win the pistol on T side of overpass, then they win one random gun round because they just did a B rush, and then they just have five rounds on T side overpass, and that propels them because it's such a CT sided map. So
being as it's hot take point made, and we're not making the hot take, but Kassad half did a hot take. I'll just throw this in there. Even though I sort of agree it was a very good tournament performance by Chopper, I will just say, he basically played the game on easy mode of every IGL of all time, because one, his star player fragged out like no one ever has. And then two, they won like every fucking pistol ever, except like one against FaZe or something. Like, that was actually absurd. Like, they really had like everything go in their favor that tournament. So like, I'm not hating on Chopper, but I tell you what, a lot of people would like to be in those shoes and win every fucking pistol and have a guy go like 1.7 rating or whatever the fuck. Like, I think a lot of people would have wins if they did that too. So I'll just throw that out there. Come on.
Let's open spirit. Chopper.
Come on.
Stats.
Yes, that's one, okay. I think it was at 1.0. Like, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, and then let's say Hooksy, right? What was his rating?
Oh, his was terrible. It'd be like 0.8.
Yeah, but
that's
exactly what I'm saying. That makes him underrated. Like, you know, people are glorifying Hooksy. People are glorifying Hooksy, but he had like Nico, Monesi, JKS, and Hunter. And then obviously Chopper had what? Like, you know, Donk. And then who is like played out of his mind, but still got a better rating than Hooksy did.
For example.
And still won Katowice. So take that, Hooksy.
I'll just say on that one, even though I know like the reasons why we gave it the time, I don't agree with it overall. Like, for example, I would even say if you actually look at some of the runs in Katowice, I think actually teams like Ensign and Falcons were mainly making off the IGL. Actually, a lot of their players weren't that great, or the team wasn't that dope a lineup. I actually think the IGLs did a lot of work in that regard. Right, then we'll go to... Right, I had a bunch of takes on Simple taking a break, so I don't care about that one. I then had that hot take, which is just an opinion, which was just to fuck with Simple, where I said that when he came at Maui over the whole thing about Nafani being a good IGL, I just said, in that case, you fucking play with him, mate. How about that? Instead of Shiro, by the way, how's that take? I'll tell you what, I'm giving myself the W on this one. You wanted fucking Shiro to play with cocksucker Nafani. By the way, how's that going in his team at the moment? How is Nafani doing nowadays? Because if you don't know, guys, low key on paper, he actually has a pretty good roster of players. players. He has some talent. They do fuck all in the tournaments. They're irrelevant. Meanwhile, Shiro just checks nuts, won a massive fucking prestige land. Now he's not got Nafani calling. So all I'll say on that one is, like I said, if you're going to go as hard as Simple did, I actually think you are almost obliged to put your money where your mouth is and play with the fucking guy. Show me how sick he is then. Don't you want to win majors, mate? Come and play with Nafani and win a whole load. Spoiler, that is sarcasm. Please don't actually play with... Now that you've apologised, please don't play with Nafani or ruin your career. So shout out to you. And also, that is why Shiro was crying. But enough about that. So. Right, okay. Then we had this one, which was... Oh, this is actually about the Nafani one. Then Cassad said... It's where this had to be a hot take. This is how bad, like, the community is. Because this isn't a hot take, but it was to morons. Cassad dared to suggest that Maui's apology to Nafani might have been fake. Which makes him, which, by the way, the reason we're making fun of you guys is that would be like me going, you know, that like skit on WWE was actually like a skit. It wasn't like a real candid camera in the locker room. Like, really? It's like, that's what CS is like though. Like, mate, did you see when like the worst one to me that shows that they're blind when something is a joke or not is how many people actually said their head you think was a skit. It's like, bro, if you watch more than 4 seconds, how can you still think it's a skit? Like, I thought so. When she first said get out, I thought it could be a skit. When she then just started berating, obviously it wasn't. It was obviously real. So the idea they can't see that, like, it was so sarcastic, the letter he wrote. Like, there's no way he'd write it that way if he was actually apologising, would he? Yeah, like, he was almost pissing in your face while he was saying it all. Like, come on, guys.
My language was so flowery. I know. Intentionally. In that
there's no
thing.
Way.
But I'm not going to like, I read the comments publicly. And you see... Maui has the balls to be a man and apologize.
There was all people like, he admitted it and apologized. Like, he isn't doing that. And in fact, he's actually throwing it in your face that he's not apologizing, guys, you idiots.
He's not even realizing he's pissing all over.
Exactly.
Like, that's how fucking...
I love it. I love it. I love it.
That was, and it was all just because they beat Vitality in a BO1 and Gamer Legion in a BO2.
That was it.
That's why I made
it. It was like the beginning of the tournament, exactly. And by the way,
also the very beginning of CS2 by all.
By the way, this then ties into a banger take for now, because again, you'll just see how obsessed Maui is with this one set of moves. Maui's take was that Fnatic need to kick Dexter. And are you ready, Cassad? Can you finish the take? If they were to kick Dexter, what do you think they would do in the rest of the team? See if you can guess. What would the rest of the take be from Maui?
Something with Messi.
I think it was to make Messi IGL again. That's like, literally. that one move of who is the IGL fanatic has just been living rent free in Maui's head. Like, every month he's like, what's my new take on fuck the IGL currently? Brilliant. I love that one. And then I had the last take of that episode. We've got one to go, then we'll get in the hot takes. It was actually the one that obviously hasn't finished yet because it's for the end of 2024. It was my Saudi prediction, if you remember, where I said 3 of the top 5 orgs at the end of 2024 will be Saudi owned. Well, here's the thing. Falcons haven't quite done it yet, so I guess I haven't got one yet. But I'd still, look, there's still a lot of time on that one. We'll see on that one. Because if people don't know, the problem with that move is, especially if you know how the sports things work, they've got so much money, it's more like it's on the Saudis. If they choose to move now, they could buy all the teams in a month from now. If they choose to go really slowly, they won't have any extra teams. So actually, that one's still up in the air. We'll see on that one. It looks not looking great for me now, but hey, we'll see. We'll see where it all goes.
I don't think you're going to be far off. I don't think you're going to be far off.
And by the way, to be fair, at the time that I said that take, I believe that was when we still thought Nico was going to Falcons, to be fair. So I also thought like that's immediately going to become a banger team, you know. Right, the last episode was 17. It was on November of 2023. Because obviously I'll save all the ones from this year and the last episode for the future episode. This one started with Cassad's take. Are you ready? Cassad said that Falcons wouldn't make the first CS2 major. Do you know what, Cassad? Whether Locke was involved or not, that is a 100% W. That is a factual W.
And thank you. Thank you.
That's the ultimate glow.
I appreciate, like, you know,
pretty good.
Acknowledging my greatness there. But the thing is, like, with Falcons, you do kind of feel... I don't know if you feel bad or not, right? Or you think they didn't deserve to be there, but they got to the semis in Qatar.
Yeah, that was a banger result.
And I'm pretty sure they had like expectations, but you know, I'm not really sure that everybody expected them to qualify directly in as Legends as 3-0, 3-1 or something, but it, people didn't really think that they would be 1-3 and losing to Amcal and
yes, I think the teams they lost to was the worst part. Because I'll say that as well. It's not like they even got the hardest draw, guys. Like, again, we're just saying you just have to beat, like, ex-entropic players to get the major. We're not saying, like, you have to beat fucking FaZe or something. You know, I'm with you.
Yeah. They did lose to FaZe, but the other games were not hard.
If they beat Amcal, even if they lose the last one, they would be 2-3. They would be the last chance thing. And, like, they would kind of maybe got the chance, but they lost this. And also there is a map choice that I really didn't, you know, agree with coming like first three games of three nukes. Especially against Eternal Fire, whose best map is nuke.
Oh, that was silly. I think that's all there, yeah.
That was a miscalculation there. And overall, you know, it's sad that they didn't do it. Like, you know, they invested so much money. We know how much I said it in the last episode, how much they spend on St. Pius and how much they spend on that we don't know how much they spend on Magisk and stuff. And right now they're just not going to be, you know, on the major and they have to take that hit. For me, the game that I watched, the biggest issue for this team is definitely Borosh. I think he made a lot of mistakes inside the game. I always don't know what's happening, like there inside the team, you know. But the thing is, like inside the game, he's choosing very strange. He's having very strange decisions. Like he's taking fights he should not be taking. He's missing a lot of rotations. He's like in a wrong spot all the time. He's not trading well, which should be his primarily quality and role in the team. That he's that fragger guy, and I don't know how much of like again resources are dedicated to him inside the server, but he would be, you know, my first option in case of an upgrade or something when it comes to Falcons. But yeah, overall, they didn't make it, so.
No, I'm with you on that one. I even think the real problem you have with Boros, I've almost never seen this in a player before, is he actually is mechanically totally fine. Like, he's actually a good player. Like, his firepower is there. But this is the problem. He is not at all connected to the team concept. And actually, for a snappy team, he looks really inappropriate. Like, he does not fit that team at all. And you can tell it actually means Snappy can't make certain calls in the game because he just knows this guy can't follow up or make the play himself or know what to do. So when you have to hold someone's hand like that, I don't care how much they frag. Like, it's gonna hurt your team. So yeah, I'm with you on that one. Hasn't been great so far, right?
Well, then that's the thing.
Here's one where I was 100% factually wrong, so rare one. I predicted that Na'Vi with Wonderful would win either Blast Fall Finals or Blast World Finals. They did not. I think they made semis or one. That's about it. But they did not.
Mega Grand Finals. You
said I did, but then Kassad made me upgrade it to win because he wanted me to be a man and just actually make a bold prediction. Well, so
didn't even make a Grand
Final. No, it doesn't matter. I lost either way, so whatever. At least I went for glory. I agree with Kassad. You've got to go for it. You know, you've got to put your arm on the table and chop it off if you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
That's what I mean, because I'd have no arms anymore, so not enough about that. Right, yeah, so, sure. Right, then we had this one. Obviously, the problem with these ones now, to be fair, guys, this episode was in November. It's the last episode we're reviewing now, so some of these haven't had a chance to do one. Maui's take at the time, which was pretty blistering, was he said that at the time, Virtus Pro was the third best team in CS2. I believe Kassad disagreed.
Yeah, I mean, right now...
It was a bit of a reach. It could be.
It was a bit of a reach back then.
They're not bad now. Opinion. Yeah, they're not bad now. Could be.
Now, if you said that now, I would agree.
Yeah, they're like a sleeper top team, so...
Really? Anyway. You think they're better than Vitality now?
Sorry, yeah, I do think they're better than Vitality right now, based on what I've seen.
Listen, save that for like 10 minutes from now. That should be fucking hot take. We're almost there.
I cut it down to just one sentence.
We'll spin it into a hot take in a second. You've got a couple here. Right, then we had Maui's... Oh, no, this is your take next. Kassad's take, obviously hasn't ended, was that Vitality will have the most Tier 1 titles by the end of 2024. You've got a good chance. Obviously, there's loads of events to play. You've got a good chance for that one. We'll see.
At this point, I don't know. Because they played, I mean, I'm going to stick with it because I made it, you know, I made my bet with that stake, but like right now it's a bit shaky because, you know, they're not playing well, but they still have Zywoo. That's like,
yes.
What would have worked out so much better is if you said 12 months from today, because they would have already had two titles, but now they have zero.
Right. You could have got the World Finals one too. Yeah. True.
Yeah. Fall, you would have got full Fall and World.
I'm a real man, so I just make the right predictions. I'm not going to go get like, you know, this kind of, you know, beggars things like
it should be hot take point gerrymandered instead.
Well, it's just, you know, be a man.
We've only got three more, so we'll get through these ones. Then I had the take that Pimp wasn't wrong with that whole like Saudi tweet thing, because I actually think sadly that was a hot take. I don't think it's much of a hot take at all if you examine the circumstances, but that was like a media for Raw. People, this is how funny it is. It's not that, it's only a few months ago, but like that was like a whole week they were just going ham on him for that, weren't they? So I thought that was so over fucking blown. Then we had two more. Maui had one that was Breeze will actually look good on NRG. Listen, thus far, I feel like that's an L, but, you know, it could still turn around.
You have the balls to talk to me about Coldzera and Fallen, and then you say that.
That is pretty wild. Like, I know. That is pretty wild.
Crazy.
He's not even...
That was a bit of hopium, as we call it. That was hopium right there, you know. You just need to believe it.
That's literally because I played him in a pug, and it was...
Oh, that's true. That was why you said, yes, true.
Tells about you a lot, doesn't it?
And then the last
I'm not the one that's competing with a salary.
This one was just a fucking opinion, but I would say if you even see how the scenes changed, I think people agree with me. I just said I think the blast system skews the history of CS, because as I pointed out, if you're a team that can't get into it, you just like can't almost be the number one team of the year. You almost can't be high enough in the rankings consistently because people just farm those shitty group stages, don't they? So, right, what about... Maybe you want to do one of the ones you just did, Cassandra. We can do a real hot take. Do you want to... How about that one? I think that one's pretty spicy. If you don't think Vitality are top three... It's cause, just because I can't beat you, that's thrown you already. Because that implies you've taken Spirit top three, right?
No, I'm just talking about VP being top three. That's the thing.
You would have Spirit, FaZe, and...
Why am I saying I'm not saying Spirit?
What was the take then? There was a take about Vitality, and you had some sort of thing where you said like that they're not top three. Did he not just say that a minute ago? Am I wrong?
We were just comparing. I think we were just comparing VP and Vitality.
You said VP is better than Vitality right now. That's a hot take. Here's the thing. I don't think anyone else, I think most people would disagree with that. Why is VP better than Vitality?
Listen to me. Right now, VP is better than Vitality. My hot take was going to be that VP is going to be in the semis of the major.
Let's do it. That's
my hot take. Okay. It's going to be the semis of the upcoming major. Because ever since I got back into the game, I have watched 90% of, maybe even 95% of top 20 teams' demos. Like all of them that has been played from the start of the CS2 that you can actually watch without, you know, being technical problems, right? So the thing is like, and I also have access to this software Skybox thingy. So it's like you can watch there. So I watched a lot of games and I can tell you that Spirit 2 at some degree, but VP is the smartest and most structured team right now. The things they do in the game is just ahead of other teams when it comes to like the actual structure and the ideology of the actual game and how they approach these things. That's why I said, and my other hot take was going to be that Fleet is one of the most complete players right now. But we can tie that together, right? Because the way they play is so smart. The way they structure things is so smart. The problem right now for them is map pool, because... they cannot really, like, they're focusing on too many maps and doing this good of a job. They don't have a signature map. That's the problem for them. And they're a little bit inconsistent when it comes to the individual four, right? So, but overall, they have super smart players. The only one that's a question mark for me that can take this takedown is Mir, because when I watch his game, when I watch, for example, Jane, he's playing super smart. When I watch Fleet, he's playing super smart. When I watch Norbert, he's a super good supportive element right now. Mir is the problem right now in a case that he makes a lot of bad decisions and he puts himself in a disadvantaged fight a lot of times and he doesn't really react to certain things properly. But overall, this team is mega good. Trust me when I tell you this one, that this team is very, very good and they're going to go deep into the major if they have the same thing. Obviously, it's going to require a little bit of luck in the draw, a good individual form, sure. But overall, the most complete strategically and tactically, structurally team right now is VP, 100%.
Wow. I mean, I have a hot take I could just build off of that one with. It's also VP related.
I'll just vaguely say, here's the thing. I like the hot take, but I don't agree with it. As in, if I had to pick, would they make semis? Here's why I would say no, Cassad. You sort of nailed it there. The problem I've always had with outsiders is even, and VP, when they've made the lineup even good, like on paper, it looks like they have the pieces. Somehow that always, I think it's a gym issue. They never have a signature map in VP. What's bizarre is they always win by just the style working on most maps, bizarrely. So it's more like, in my opinion, they're just good at playing people in pressure maps. So the problem is, I've just noticed in history, they're usually better as like a dark horse. Like essentially, if I actually have to like know that they're going to win, it's hard to know they're going to win against the big teams, you know, they can upset them. So I'd say they're more of a quarterfinal team for me, but that's why it's a good hot take. Okay. What is your take you want to build off, Maui? Come on.
So just for reference, all the things that I'm bringing up are using the filters last 3 months, top 20. And so what I'm saying is that Norbert, if you were to construct an Eastern European super team, would be your fifth player. He would be your fifth player. Norbert would be your fifth.
It can't be real. It can't be a take. It can't be.
It's actually real.
Here's the thing. How dare you use the word super team, though? That's the worst. Because the saddest thing is, one, you are sort of right. Everyone knows he actually is a rare player that's been better in CS2. But the problem is, in my brain, I just can't get past the idea like Norbert is in the super team. You know?
That's why it's a hot take. Okay. Because I honestly, like, based off of what he did in CSGO, we were just memeing him all the time. It's like, Norbert is a major winner and Nico's not a major winner. Well, now you look at some of the stats, and again, like, referencing what I said about stats and like what my filters were, he's the eighth highest rated person on LAN in the last 3 months.
Holy
like
shit.
It's crazy. That's he's respect. Also yeah. he's literally the highest rated player on Overpass, period. Fucking all hell. Players he is the highest rated player on Overpass. Okay. Like that's so absurd. And he's the second highest rated player on CT side Inferno
for two reasons. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but put some respect on Norbert's name.
No, Norbert, I mean, like, Kassad's been watching, and now I've been, like, really keeping an eye on them, too, and it's just, like, he just does all the right things, and he multi-frags from positions that other people don't sometimes. Like, he's legitimately very mechanically talented now. He's just making a lot of the right moves. He's playing well within the system, not giving up win conditions. Like, that's a big thing where I think before with Norbert, I was kind of, like, it was... Like, he would sometimes give up that, like, Jame win condition or, like, the VP style where it's just, like, he might make a little bit of a misstep, go for an overpeak. I think he's just really hunkered down and bought into whatever it is that they're doing. So Norbert right now is actually, yeah, no, he's just playing incredibly strong CS. And even in terms of individual mechanics, he's very sharp right now. Like, I don't know where this came from. I getting benched from this team was the best thing to ever happen to Norbert. It might be the best thing that VP ever did to this guy also, and them, and for themselves, because now they're getting to reap the rewards of him re-examining his own playstyle and coming back with a renewed sense of purpose.
What do you think, Kassad? It's a hot take for sure.
Listen, it is a hot take just because you said, like, a super team world has been used there, right? But, like, we've seen, like, different players that we thought that not going to make it to the, like, very high level and being a part of super teams, right? And very successful teams. I do think that Norbert is a very, very important guy right now in the machine that's VP. The team, the position that he has, like I said again and again, that he doesn't take up any of the space. He doesn't use any of the resources in the rounds for VP. It all goes to Jamie. It all goes to Fleet. It all goes to other people. He doesn't take up anything, and he delivers more than what people in the team expect from him. If you look at his positions on the CT side and how he uses his utility, smokes, mollies, like the timings of using it, the position that he's throwing it from, the innovative things, the creative things. I don't know if it's all him, but he's the one doing it anyway, in my eyes, because I'm watching the game. But I think it's very, very high level, in a sense. And he's a very important thing. Obviously, for me, Split is by far the best player in that team. But definitely, Norbert is a massive piece there and very, very good player.
I agree that Flit is the best player on that team, but I also just again have to reiterate that you said, you know, he takes up no resources, and I'm bringing up my point. He is literally the highest player in the world rated on Overpass. How is that even possible? That he gets no resources, and yet he is statistically the highest outputting player right now. That's so absurd. Like, that's why he'd be part of my super team for Eastern Europe. Maybe, like, I don't know, he might even be a top 10 player right now, legitimately.
With your take, I don't know if it's like, how can we say, like, if you're right or wrong? Like,
well, it's like, you would say, like, is it Zontix right now, or is it Perfecto? That's kind of like that for a similar role, and right, and that's why it's a hot take, because I think most people
for me
5 months ago would have said Perfecto, but Zontix
for me, it's 40-40-20 at this point, like 40 Zontix, 40 Norbert, and 20 Perfecto.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. But I would take Norbert because he's a major winner.
And Nico isn't. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, okay. Duncan, your turn.
Yeah, let me see where do I want to go on this one. I'm trying to think what angle I'm going to do for this. Because the thing is, I like to also, if you notice, I don't just do the ones that are like, really good player will be even better. I like to also do the ones where it's like I told you, I like to buy stock low. So you know what? This is the perfect timing for me to do this. Everyone right now is laughing at Falcons, aren't they? Did he make there? Right. Look, I do think they were slightly overperforming making semis of Katowice. But I also think if you watch those games, it was legit. Like, I'd even say, in light of what I just said about Boros, they didn't make it just on people fragging out. Like, if people don't even know, St. Pius was even doing kind of shit in most of the tournament in the group stage. Like, I actually think that is just a win for the system. The joke is, even though now everyone's going to donk on Snappy and Magus and Zonic, I think they actually proved that they've got something here. It's just they obviously need a star player. So whether or not they change players or not, that's how I'm going to make it a hot take. I think this Falcons team will win a tournament in the next 6 months. If they change a player, obviously that'll look better for me. They will win a tournament. It's a hot take, mate. It's a fucking hot take. Here's why. Because I actually think they're not going to be able to win just off someone 1v9 in the tournament. They don't have a player that can do that. Like, Sumpius wasn't even like that as an AWP. He's more of like a big game player who just pops off on a certain map on CT side and gets you a bunch of wins you probably shouldn't, or kills a bunch of people early. Basically, I think this structure will get better and better. Like, what I saw at Katowice was, dude, it looked like every best of three, they got better. The team just got a little bit better, a little bit sharper, a little bit cleaner, a little bit better on this map, a little bit better on that map. They rounded out. And by the end of the tournament, mate, it's only because they had to run into fucking Spirit that I can't even know if they could have done better. Like, Spirit crushed them, but then Spirit turned around and beat fucking FaZe and crushed everyone in the tournament except Na'Vi on one map and then crushed them on the other two. So actually, I can't even know how it ended. It was that bad. So essentially, give them a few more months. I think actually people like Sumpius will get more consistent in the team. I think Madden's actually, by the way, already, this is why I know people don't watch the game. Madden is not playing the same fucking way he played in Ents, by the way, guys. He gets way more fucking chance to pop off here. I think he's going to actually show that he has more depth there. I essentially think they'll offset the Boros thing by just how good the other players are. Magus, Sumpius and Madden, if Madden isn't just a pure support player or whatever, they could be fucking good fraggers too. And so essentially my logic is they're going to do it by committee, kind of like Carrigan did with FaZe. They're not going to have a Ziwu. They don't have one right now. So they're just going to do it by committee. So it's a hot take. 6 months, one tournament. I'm not saying which though. It could be a blast. Could be anything. One tournament.
It has to be a tier one, right?
It has to be like an ESL. It can't be at least S2 Masters. It's all good. Yeah, they can't just go to like some bullshit line, of course. Yes. That's why it's hot take. Okay. You disagree, though. So come on, hit me with the disagreement.
It's hard because you don't know how the lineup is going to look like. If they go back for a superstar player, like, and
I mean, I will just say, Kazan, right? Technically, you did make that prediction about Falcons when they didn't even have this lineup. So you get to change the lineup too and then win when you're right. You just said about the shit Falcons not making the major. So if that works for you, it works for me as well, right? Fair's fair.
Let's. I mean, it's not fair, but whatever. I'll give it up for you, right?
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of completely the opposite of fair, but whatever. The thing is, like, they have the money, right? They have the understanding.
Oh, don't ruin it, because I'm sort of also low key. There is like a 10% chance in my take that in like a month they just spend like $1 million and buy like not Donk, but you know, like some god tier player. That would be sick, wouldn't it? That would be the best.
I was about to agree with him on his take, and he just interrupts me.
Come on, then.
The thing is, like, they have the money, they have the vision right now. They know what's missing. By this failure, they will learn a massive fucking lesson.
Yep.
Based on what happened and whatever, like, you know, was in the RMR, what was the situation, why they lost, and blah, 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 whatever, right?
I mean, by the way, Kassad, you could even argue that this is the best thing for them to lose. Like, they probably might keep the Boros guy if they made the major, right? They probably replace him now.
The best thing for them would be not to lose. But the thing is, like, now they lost, it's not the worst thing. That's the how would I phrase it? But the whole thing is, like, I think that in 6 months, with the right replacement, they can win one event. Yes.
Okay, he's giving me a concession there. Okay.
I feel like if they get someone for Boros that's more like, I don't know if, you know, Falcons would get this guy, but if they got like a heavy god, I'm just thinking of people that didn't make it or probably aren't going to make it to the RMR or major or whatever.
Did you say heavy god?
Yeah, I said heavy god, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, some...
Or Breezy, if he's available, you know, whoever. Cold Zera, yeah, like, scout the Rolodex.
Crazy. It's like he doesn't even, like, I'm not going to go into this political... There is also a political.
Yeah, the political thing. That's why I said. That's why I said I don't know if Falcons would get this guy because, you know, that they are what they are and he is what he is. So I don't know, but I would.
Yeah, well,
but
what is that? What is he?
That's okay. For another show. Yeah,
why I appreciate, by the way, is that this isn't even Maui's take, but he's just giving his thoughts on my take. But we're critiquing him like it's his hot take, just his opinion.
I know. Okay. Okay. I think
unexpected name, like, true.
Listen, I can't lie. I didn't expect the name Heavy God to come out of his mouth there, but fair enough. Okay, he's working on something here.
Yeah. No, I feel like they're gonna replace Boros. I feel like that's just been the talk of the town for a while. So I think
but there is also a matter of, like, you know, the Falcons is a Saudi organization.
Oh, you think,
right?
They want to have a Middle Eastern player? Is that what the implication is?
Does he have some protection?
Right.
Is he protected? Yeah. There, you don't know. We don't know anything behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's not even him, but it's someone of that sort of caliber. Like, I'm saying, I was picking him because it's someone that I don't necessarily think is going to make the major. Also, and so you probably want someone that also failed in the RMRs or even in the European close qualifiers. So you could poach someone like that, and if you were able to find somebody like that. for Boros that they just are like, this guy's just smarter. Maybe he's not as mechanically talented, but he can fit into the snappy system a little bit better. Then I think it works out pretty well. I think one thing, though, to the point itself without having to speculate on roster moves is that the whole team was improving throughout Katowice. Like, they were leveling up because I had to cover like 5 of their games or something like that. Like, I was watching everything they were doing, and literally every single game I watched them play, they got better and better and better, even up to the point where they actually lost in the tournament. I actually thought they literally looked better every single consecutive game, and that included Boros actually fitting a little bit better. Like, he still makes mistakes. I think he made bunches of mistakes at the RMR, but like, he actually was a really solid piece and a contributing member. Like, they were trying to like make sure they set him up nicely. If he had a save rifle, they gave it to Boros. He would get boosted for a couple shots. Then he would rotate him to another spot. Like, there was a lot of reasons to like the progress that Falcons were making in such a short span of time. And I imagine that they would be on a pretty nice upward trajectory along with that. Obviously, the RMR didn't pan out that way, but I felt like this was kind of a trap tournament in a weird way for the Falcons, because I think anybody that, and I think if you're coming off of a high from playing Katowice, especially in front of a crowd, and then you go into a studio environment, upping your energy to the level you just had is going to be so much more difficult. Also, everybody just watched your demos. Everybody just looked at what you were doing, and so you're going to be a step behind all these guys that are, you know, they're practicing more, they're trying more.
It begs the question that, like, what if they dropped out in the group stage, right? Would that be better for them?
Yes.
Than actually playing in the Spodek twice or whatever, right? And yes, just maybe focus so down on some of the map pool and some of the, like, tactical and whatever positioning mistakes they had to kind of get them through this best of threes, at least against teams like Ankal or whatever the caliber of the teams they are losing. They should not be losing, right? So that kind of, you know, they need to ask themselves that question. But also, they have a plan. They are always saying, like, this is the beginning and we have a long-term plan. So I trust that. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows except them, right? So, but to kind of, again, confirm, I think with the right swap and the right upgrade, surely they can win one event in the next 6 months. Surely, surely.
Plus, if you notice, a big reason I gave, those three names I gave, Magisk, Zonic, and fucking Snappy, I think those are incredibly consistent performers at their roles. Like, I think it's a very good base, because, like I keep saying, the reason why everyone laughing at Falcons is going to look silly in the future is because it's implied they are just going to keep spending money till this works. And then two, like we're saying, the position they need to fill, fucking star rifler, that's like the most, that is the biggest position of supply in the entire scene. As we're saying, if we could pick them, we could give you a list of 50 names you could put in that role. So I just feel like it's the most obvious one, where you bring that one guy in and immediately you're like twice as good and you can win the tournament, you know. So we'll see in a few months on that one. Is there another take? Maybe one more hot take? Do you want one, Kassar? Do you want one, Maui? Have you got another one? Come on.
I have like a bunch of them, but
we can do a couple more. We'll do like 15 minutes more. Do one. Come on.
I'll use this one because, like, that's kind of two in one in a sense. By the end of April, Thimple will be back oping in Navi.
Ooh, what's great about that is it would be a hot take anyway that he comes back, because it's implied, but no one knows. He actually has to not only be Navi, he has to be the Orper. So he's essentially going to replace Wonderful, right? He's going to come out the team.
That's the second part of my take, right?
Right.
I think that Navi, that Thimple is going to go back to Navi because like, he doesn't have anywhere else to go. I don't think anybody's going to pay what Navi is asking, simply because the stock for Simple is down now. Simply because he didn't play for a long time. I still think he's good. He still going to be the opener. He's not going to go back to Rifle. Like, the second part of my take is that Wonderful is the best opener of the whole region there. And that's...
Wait a minute. Oh, I think he's fucked up. Dude, I think he's actually fucked up. Do you know why I think he's fucked up?
Oh, yeah, tell me why they fuck up.
Are you implying Wonderful is better than Monacy?
Oh, fuck.
You forgot Monacy existed, didn't you?
Yeah. I was so confused.
Second best.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
All right, second best opera.
Listen, that would have been a more spicy hot take, but I just don't think he knew it.
I think it's like a complete...
All right, second best then. You're saying he's better than Simple, he's better than Shiro for you. That's a bit hot take.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's better than all of them right now, except for Monacy. The thing is, like, I haven't really counted Monacy into
Because
I was like,
he doesn't play from a team from there, sure.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I feel like Wonderful is so good, and he's been so underrated. I think Navi made a great move by getting him.
Killed it, yeah.
Like, they got him from Sprout for some cheap money. And, you know, and it's like he's been one of the biggest reasons why they're playing so good. And they're playing, you know, they qualified today as 3-1 against Bad Boom. And then it's just, I think that the way he's moving and the way he's doing things in CS2 is quite good. And it's very high level, like if you just watch his games and the way he does things, right? And but unfortunately, he's not Simple, right? When Simple decides to go back because of his brand, because of his name, because of his popularity and like the history and the fact that he's a GOAT of CSGO, he's going to get that opportunity again.
Oh, I definitely
again,
will. Right? Yes, yes.
There is no amount of underfalls or donks that will be, you know, picked before Simple coming back, right? So I think before the, what did I say, end of April, he's going to be back in Navi and Wonderful won't be in that team. Which ties us to another thing that Cloud9 should get Wonderful.
Do you know what's sad about that though, Kassad? I normally try not to do this, but I'm just going to mention it. Right? Obviously, people kept saying, and this was a stupid thing. You know, the fans who were like, Simple should join Cloud9. And Simple expressly said, like, I obviously won't join a team with four Russians. Now, I will say as a joke there, no problem, Simple. They've got Hobbit. He's Kazakhstani, so it's the Russian. But I know what he means. He just means he won't join Cloud9, basically. Like, here's the problem. I agree. Wonderful would make that team great. One problem. His pinned tweet does say Russia is a terrorist state. So I'm just going to put that out there. I feel like someone with that pinned tweet might be on the same train as Simple. But then again, who knows if he doesn't have a team? Because the sad thing is, if we could take the politics shit out, if you had Wonderful to the Cloud9 team, I've got all sorts of hot takes we can make. I'll probably win a major. Like, why not? It's possible, right? I think that would be a banger team. The real sad thing about that state of affairs is, I'll take any of them, mate. I'll take any. It doesn't have to be Monacy or Simple. I'll take Dexter. Fucking, I mean, joke is, if Shiro wants to go back, he won't. I'll take Shiro as well. Wonderful. These are all players I'd take. Like, all I need is just a vaguely good hopper. If I get a really good one, I think that team's cooking. I'm with you, though. I think it'd be a banger move if he could do it. Wouldn't that be a perfect almost, right? Also, I even get the sense he wouldn't like take insane resources. Like, he actually seems like a guy who will just slot in the team. So I think it'd be insane if Cloud9 had him, mate.
Like, it is crazy good. Like, unbelievably what he's shown in the last few months, the progress. I don't know if it's because of Blade or anybody else, or just the fact that the different vibe in the team, or they're just like meshed together well, or whatever the fuck is it, right? Maybe it's Alexei. I don't know. Like, you just... maybe it's both, but he has been performing very, very high on a high level, and the amount of damage that he puts out on every single game is just what Navi like was lacking, right? And that's why they're on the major.
Okay,
but I'll tell you what, Simple is coming back by the end of April. Now, this is like just a little disclaimer. I do not know anything behind the scenes.
Oh, sure, okay.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely know nothing. Sure. It's just me making a guess.
Yes,
pretty much.
What do you think of that, Maui?
I mean, Simple saying the thing about Cloud9 with him not going to join a team with the four Russians was kind of, it was understandable, but it's kind of, it is a big letdown because it would have on paper just been so good.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It'd be incredible.
Yeah. It would have been perfect actually. I don't even care which one he replaces between Exile or Hobbit. Either would have been fine because yes. Electronic, Boomich, and Perfecto have all been playing their three roles incredibly well. And so, yeah, it's just flat out disappointing. And I don't really know what the landing spot necessarily would be then for Simple. I mean, if he's really incredibly tied to Ukraine and all their efforts, what's hilarious is what he could do is just absolutely fuck the guy that he's had beef with forever and just take Waro's spot on Monty. But I don't think he would join a team with that little much of brand power. But I don't know. I don't think he's...
Or like, if you wanna have Simple, you need to have at least 50 to 60.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. The problem is that they're small org. Yeah, exactly.
They're not getting him, and also like I mean, other teams from that region, what like Spirit, they just got Shiro. They're not probably gonna. I mean, it's kind of almost the same deal of like he wouldn't join a team then with quote like three Russians because of Chopper, Magix, and Donk.
Yep.
And then also like. What with VP?
And if I had to guess, I'm actually surprised by the way that Spirit themselves, just like Forza, managed to escape all those sanctions. As far as I know, isn't that like a fucking CIS org? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really know on that one, so I don't know if he'd also join the org. You don't know, right? So if it's not Navi, it has to be an international team, probably, right?
Yes, exactly. And I was going to get to international teams and like, who would he actually join? Well, teams that actually have the resources as an org would probably be more like a Liquid, but I don't think they can really ditch Kadian, given that, you know, I guess Kadian could swap. Like, Kadian could swap roles to become a Rifler, but I think another, like, in terms of fit right now and having a team that's strong enough, funnily enough, like, Imagine this.
You know what else that you forget? Like,
wait. Imagine this team first. Imagine Mouse get their worst player out in Torzy, and they get Simple. That team is also championship contender immediately.
Don't be ridiculous. But the thing is, they wouldn't
be able to afford him.
They can't afford them like in a million years. That Mouse, even if they had the money, they wouldn't pay because they don't operate that way as an organization for years now. They will never. But what can happen, my dear Maui, is the fact that a Russian or not Russian, but Ukrainian or whatever, right? Some rich guy can put the resources into a new team.
Make that a brand simple, new squad. Yeah, just based around
that
Simple.
Simple can you know pick the players and do this thing and make a championship team, right? Or super team or whatever you want to call it. That's the only kind of downside of my take. I think it's either that or it's gonna be Na'Vi, but I don't think it's gonna be Na'Vi because the system is already there. Everything is there. You just fit in and play, right? And I think that's going to be like that.
And what they should do is if they make that super team is they should get Norbert and he'll renounce his Russian heritage and go full Armenian.
Here's what I think. One, I've got my own hot take.
There's a lot of political things, right?
That's why I said nothing about me. I just left it there. I'm not touching about the barge pole. I know. What I'll say is this. I will just say the joke is it actually all the hot takes got combined because I end up by purposely phrasing that earlier one like that. What you don't know is in the end, Simple does come back, not as an AWPer. He rifles instead of Boros in Falcons and they win the next major. And then I'm just like, except actually I need it to be a tournament, not the major, because that would be too far away, wouldn't it? Whatever. They win some LAN in summer then. How about that? Except that wouldn't happen. Right, here's the hot take. It's actually what I did on Twitter today. I'm interested to see what people say, because I actually think, here's what's funny. Spoiler, I've even had pros behind the scenes say they agree with me and think it's a good take. But I think fans would think the opposite of this. Every fan will think esports as an industry has developed. We've expanded. We've made it better. We've increased the resources into tournaments and formats and systems. I am not joking. It's not just because teams are doing what like or don't like, haven't qualified. I said it on Twitter. I think major qualification has never been as bad as it is now. Because one, first of all, even Magus won the last fucking major. And he's still rocking up through online qualify. What is that, you know? If he hadn't got this RMR spot by buying those players, he'd have come through an open qualifier against me and my friend and a cheater. That's who he has to beat first round to get to the fucking RMR. There's the online component. If you don't know, because of the Legends system, it had flaws, but the best part is all the top teams were going to be at the next major because they made top eight. So it meant you were pretty much guaranteed most of the top 10 was at every major. They didn't have to go through some crazy minefield of randos online that are cheating or just complete randos. Then add in, we've got BO1s, which we always had, but it's even worse now because it's BO1 in a Swiss system. So randomized, you don't know who you're going to play in the other rounds. So if you are Falcons, by the way, like you said, Kassad, they don't know they're going to play Amcal later in the best of threes. Meanwhile, Amcal, as long as they're normal people, watched IM Katowice like the rest of us. Even passively, they were basically forced to watch the bloody demos. Then after the BO1s, now we have BO1s in MR12, guys. At least it was MR15 before with the older economy, you could have some space. Now we got BO1s that are MR12. That's even more of a brutal one. You can lose the game so fast. Then I'll add in, I think the map pool is fucking terrible right now. I think it's way, way worse than the era of when you had all the, back in the day when you used to play Inferno, you could even say Dust 2, keep going, Mirage, everyone could play these maps. They were all good maps. They were all high level. You now have that nightmare of which do you not want to play? Vertigo, Anubis, H, give me a break. I'm fucking surrounded here. Anubis only just got half decent recently. And then the last thing to say is they still have that shit economy. So essentially, I've said this before, this is the worst moment in any Counter-Strike map. It is when it's an even game between evenly matched teams, but the CT economy is one round behind. It's the worst feeling in the world, Kassad, because if you're watching as an analyst, you're you not only have to win these rounds as CT, you have to not lose any men or guns. You're always behind the eight ball the whole time. So in the old economy, you're right back in the game after two round wins. You're just in it at that point. So if you add all this together, not only at this major, but I guarantee you for all majors here on out, if we have the same setup, we're going to see loads of upsets. We're going to see loads of big names not make the major, I'll tell you right now. I think it's the worst it's ever been because even if it was scoffed in certain areas, we never had every factor combined at once. Like I said, I give you five things at once that were a negative there. You disagree, Kassad? It feels like you're not feeling this one.
I don't think, for example, if you're a Majisk, right? I didn't fucking force you to change the team. You went there, you won the major with Vitality, then you went to Falcons. What do you deserve? You deserve nothing. You deserve to go to the open qualifiers. Unless you have a core that's come with you, right? which he did in Ents, from Ents, right? He didn't deserve it himself. The more reasonable thing is to have like a proper qualification process, like in instead of like having these cheaters. And like you, like I said before, I go to the cheaters and all these things. Like if you're a Magix, for example, like you mentioned them, like if you are getting paid 40-50k a month, you need to beat me and my friend that just randomly showed up for a qualifier. Not a cheater, but me and my friend and my brother and whoever, right? Because you are a professional, I'm not. I'm just a casual player who just signed up, right? You renounce your points that you deserve and the right to play to the next major because you went to another team. Completely brand new team, so you need to start over. So get your ass into the fucking open qualifier and play. But how about we have the proper system and the proper fucking anti-cheat, so we don't have this cheater problems right now, and we have competent admins instead of volunteers who are doing job like as a fucking side.
By the way, while they're, I don't know if you remember this, Kassad. It might have been before your era. I can't remember if you were still coaching back then, but you're back in the old days, if people don't know, aside from the legends, you would still have people qualified online. But dude, no one ever got cheated in those online qualifiers. Like every big name pretty much made it. You remember how it was? Like the major would just be like the top 15, 16 teams pretty much.
Duncan, the game is infested with cheaters right now. It's massively infested with cheaters. The admins are incapable of, and they're incompetent of doing it. PGL admins did a terrible job. We all know what happened in the four qualifiers in the open stage, right? Completely botched the whole thing. Like, against the rules, against the... Like, I personally said when I faced some whatever team in one of the qualifiers, I had to go myself and look it through this, like, these accounts of these random people with zero level on Steam, with 200 hours, with banned account, with linked alt accounts who are banned multiple times and multiple accounts. And I sent this to the admin, and all I replied, I get, both players, clear play. That's what... They're not even grammatically correct. Both players, clear play. That's what they said to me. And I was like, yeah, okay. I give they're cheating. And then you saw what happened to these Spanish guys because they were in the one of the qualifiers. I think that they'd gotten to the close qualifier. They played against cheaters and they got like reinstated into the qualifier later. Who the fuck does that? Let's like have it like more organized. Let's get a proper anti-cheat. Invest some money in that so we can have a legit fucking qualifier. Like that's the whole thing. Like, and if you switch teams, you lose your points. You lose your right to play in the next major, unless you are a core or whatever it is right now. And I'm not going to talk about the Swiss system and the best of one. That's just another subject. But overall, I do think that if you change the team, even if you like start over, you need to start over from the beginning, no matter who you are or what you did in the last major.
Oh, by the way, we won't go anywhere. It'll take forever. But I definitely disagree with that last point. So because I change team and get paid a lot, I have to play random people. There's no sport in the world works that way. Like, wait a minute. So I've changed teams, right, Kassad? Now I should have to play like some team from Africa instead of the Premier League. Like, what are we doing at that point in time? What does that mean?
What do you mean? Like, if
you just said that Magus, because...
If you are a dunk,
listen, striker, because Magus changed teams...
Real Madrid.
Go on.
If you're a striker in Real Madrid...
Yep.
And you win the Champions League, you fucking win the La Liga, and you get fucking sold to Valencia... Are you expected to play Champions League even they were like 10th in the league last
I don't
season?
Think that analogy is fair, is it? Like, there's only like fucking like three or four teams in the league can make it in. So my point is this. By your analogy, forget even being in La Liga. You'd left Real Madrid. You now have to go into the African third division in Somalia. And unless you can beat all those teams, you don't get back in La Liga. That would be your analogy. My point here is, you're missing the point here, Kassad. I never said, because Magus won the major, he should be at the major. My point is, like, why does he have to play? He would have, if he hadn't have signed these players, he would have had to start at, like, the beginning of the online qualifier, bro. The problem I've always had with the qualifier is this. Why is it all or nothing? Why is it total open qualifier or the RMR? There should be like five stages. Like I'm saying, that's why I give the football analogy. You can't be the best team in the fifth division in England and get promoted to the Premier League tomorrow. You have to wake your way up. But in the same way, if you get relegated, you don't go all the way down to the fifth division, do you? You go one step down. So like, if you're Magus and you have a team that's like top 15 in the world, it's even in the rankings, bro, after kind of like, you should actually automatically be in the RMR, or you should be at the you should be in the last match of the online qualifier, if you know what I mean. Should be tiered, in my opinion. That'll still give the random team a chance to make it, but I don't think it's fair that you throw like all these new teams just into the fire. I think if your team, the idea you had to play randoms is mental. Like, at least you have real players.
Like, they're meeting you halfway. They're giving you the core of three people. If you have three people, then you're automatically at the RMR, right?
It's all good. It's all good on that one.
You're just giving up?
No, because I expressly said if he didn't sign the Ents court and didn't get the RMR spot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you have the core, then you were going to get on that. You're going to skip all those, like, you know, all those online bullshit things. Like, if you had a like, certain amount of players, you cannot as an individual win the major and expect to be placed somewhere like in front of the
other. You want a hot take? I'll spin it into a hot take. That system's stupid as fuck. Do you know why that system is stupid as fuck? Because that system says that if Ents just got fucking Snappy, Madden, and we'll say Diha, that's a slot for the RMR, but it's also a slot if instead the three players are Slappy, Nerds, and fucking Sumpaius, arguably the three best players. Why is each slot identically equal? That's terrible, mate. Like
60% of the team that actually made it.
You've just nailed it. You've literally made my point for me. It isn't 60% of the team. It's only 60% in a literal sense. Like when Simple plays in Na'Vi, if I remove Na'Vi, Simple from Na'Vi, are they 80% the same team? They only are in the
you
sense of
look at it that way because
of course you can.
No, but you cannot like have a one player takes up more than 20% of the slot and the team, right? It cannot be like that. No matter the performance, that's what you are wrong. Like even though Simple, yes, he's the best player, he's the highest rated player. Yeah. He cannot play 4v5 or 3v5. He needs to have five players or four next to him.
No, my point is this: what are you get? What am I winning as a prize if I can take my three worst players and none of the stars that let me be that good? If I have the same prize, I get the same slot. So I get the same slot if I keep... Right, by the way, Nico, I'll do the same thing for G2, mate, right? Which one of these deserves an RMR slot? Hooksy, JKS, and fucking Hunter, or Nico Monacy and Hunter? Which one of those is better? By your logic, Kassad, it isn't different. They're identically the same.
It isn't different. It isn't different at all. I think it should be the same. I think
that's terrible, personally. I don't even know what the rule is. Like, I'd genuinely ask you this question. Abstractly, what is the rule that you're making? What are you protecting then? Why three then? It's an arbitrary number, right? Why not two? Why not four?
It's a majority, because it's a three. It what makes the majority of 60%. If you take two, it's less than
50%. Which is you've nailed it. That's exactly what my point originally was. Is that if you ask who is the majority of the G2 lineup, I don't care that three of them out of five. There's more people. They aren't more than Nico and Monacy.
Go to other teams, Duncan. That's the majority, the three people that didn't...
I'll tell you what, Maui, I know what the problem here is. He just really wants it to be that Magus doesn't get to be in the RMR, likely, bizarrely. I don't know why. If I hadn't picked like a different example, apparently he'd be totally... Essentially, because Magus gets... In fact, he even said it earlier. His logic was, because Magus gets 40k a month, he must beat every team of randoms. Like, I don't... That's like a non sequitur to me, mate, because I can tell you right now, you know Team Spirit that we just saw right now? Let me pick the 16 teams and put them in a land. I guarantee they won't win it. How about that, Kassad? Am I out of my mind by saying that? Let me pick the teams, mate. I'll pick some randos that play such bullshit CS. One of them will get them. All I need is one to get them.
Or land.
Because this is also another point. I'll make this the last point. Because actually what you're nailing is exactly why I hate the open system. Because what we're all pretending is what you just said makes sense, and it doesn't. We're pretending that the world rankings is really who you would beat. So if you're ranked third in the world, you would beat every team below you. That's not how games work. And so one of the reasons I hate this angle that if you're a professional, you have to beat randoms, is the way randoms work is terrible for winning tournaments and fucking unbelievable for randomly winning against a good team once only. It's amazing, mate. I could show you some rando Russian team right now that rush the whole game and play super crazy, and they'll lose 99% of the games, but all they need is to win that one game in the qualifier against Magus. That's it. But your logic is, because Magus can't play complete randos, he then doesn't deserve to play against like fucking Heroic at the major or whatever. Like, why? It's a non sequitur to me. It's not even the same game you're playing. Like, if I gave the same example at any other name, you'd know exactly what I meant, but you just can't handle that one detail.
No, you should pick another
one
name.
Doing my head in. It's all right.
Just pick any name that you want.
We'll just leave it there, mate. Just leave it there.